studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 52 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 49. Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
As the new school year begins, AAA reminds motorists to remember the ABCs of auto safety in its Schools Open, Drive Carefully campaign. A great burden is on the motorists to take extra precautions when driving in areas with school-aged children. AAA offers these safety reminders for motorists. Watch for reduced speed limit signs in school zones that become effective when classes are in session. Remember the law about stopping before passing or overtaking a school bus stopped to pick up or discharge children. Watch out for youngsters riding bicycles who may appear suddenly from a blind spot. Help your child map out his or her safest way to school, and remember that traffic hazards near schools multiply when children are dropped off and picked up in family cars. Remember that school traffic controls are operating now that school has restarted, and anticipate the actions of youngsters and be ready for anything by reducing speed in areas where children are present. These reminders are brought to you by AAA.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement,
call 361-9191
or toll free 866-361-9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
Right now, the sun is shining, but people are crying. This is Aaron Neville speaking for the American Red Cross. When a hurricane like Katrina passes, it leaves behind massive devastation. Just because the weather map shows the storm is over, doesn't mean it's over. People have lost their homes, lost their families. People were glued to their TVs. Where will it hit? Where will it hit? It's still hitting. For some people, Hurricane Katrina could last for the rest of their lives. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Do whatever you can. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or go to redcross.org and click Donate Now. If it takes a while, keep trying. Please help the devastated victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters each year. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-HELP-NOW. Right now, the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't want George W. Bush
talking about. That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
The Wake Up Call launches a new monthly feature beginning Monday. It's called the Wake Up Call Business Spotlight and will highlight and salute businesses and entrepreneurs that you may not be familiar with but still may have need of the goods and services they offer. The initial segment will feature Alicia Campbell and Black is Beautiful in Design. Don't miss the Wake Up Call Monthly Business Spotlight coming up Monday morning at 7 with Liz Brown.
Influenza can be a serious disease, especially if you're at high risk.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma, diabetes, or any other chronic medical condition, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're pregnant during influenza season, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're 50 or older, yes. If your child is between 6 and 23 months, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you live or work with anyone in these high-risk groups, yes. Prevent influenza. Get immunized. Some people don't think influenza is serious, but they're wrong. dead wrong. This year's influenza virus will kill as many as 36,000 people. Influenza is that serious. We are, too.
Are you talking to me?
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 Yes, we're talking to you. Influenza vaccine is available in a variety of places. Contact your healthcare provider to learn more. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and this station.
Journalist Juan Williams will be our guest on the wake-up call Monday morning at 8. The poor guy took a serious beatdown last Sunday on Fox News Sunday over the Bill Bennett remarks about black people. And we decided it might be nice to let him say how he feels about that issue and others without being ridiculed or put down. Mr. Williams is a nationally respected journalist who worked for the Washington Post for over 20 years, part of which as White House correspondent. He's also an Emmy Award winner for several powerful documentaries he wrote. And he's also the author of Eyes on the Prize and Thurgood Marshall, American Revolutionary. The Wake Up Call welcomes Juan Williams Monday morning at 8. Time now for another edition of The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me, sisters. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
Say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop
the sun. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax and my Toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. It's been a bad weekend. It's been a bad weekend for the Bush administration. It's fascinating, I guess, from the outside looking in, from from a historical perspective of watching how things have come down in this administration. How could a thing such as a nominee to the Supreme Court cause such incredible fallout from this administration? I mean, from people supporting this administration. I mean, you have people on the right just imploding over the selection of Myers as the Supreme Court nominee. And you have people on the right saying things like, I wouldn't be surprised to see her withdraw her name. Then you have people from the right, like Dobbs, who focus on the Family Guy. Focus on my family, not yours. Having a meeting with her and coming away saying, well, I'm going to support her because she has said things to me that have eased my mind. And when asked what those things were, he said, I cannot tell you what she said. Huh? She said stuff to you that you can't tell us? You're not a member of government. What do you mean that she told you stuff? And if you all will remember, remember how we were told that it's not fair to talk about Roberts' religion? Judge Roberts, who's now the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, remember? Those of us that wanted to take on his religious perspective about how he and his wife and his family are against abortions, and that's the religion that they come from. And the Republican administration said at that time that's not an issue. It's not fair to take on the issues of religion in this discussion about Roberts. But now they're saying about Myers, well, they're saying, well, look at her religion. That's to tell you everything that you need to know about her position on abortion, huh? Republicans that said that it wasn't fair to ask Roberts certain questions to know where he stands on certain issues are saying we should be able to ask this woman those questions, huh? And one of the reasons why we're seeing such an implosion, and it should make you very concerned or at least very aware or just make you say, huh, thought I was scared before, but now I'm really scared. Andrew Card is the person that is, and I think it was in the New York Magazine that said, or that is the person that is given credit for coming up with the name of Harriet. Not Karl Rove. Why wasn't Karl Rove involved in this? Karl Rove has been missing in action. And the scary part, and the revealing part, and the significant part of Karl Rove's absence is, look how things fall apart when you're distracted by a little thing called a subpoena, or the possibility of a subpoena. And remember, this is just the timing of this whole Karl Rove wouldn't have made this decision, wouldn't have made this choice of Harriet. He wouldn't have done that. And all of this grumbling around the issue of this woman being selected as to be a woman who has less experience than Judge Wapner to be the next Supreme Court justice We wouldn't be having this if Karl Rove had not been distracted. So who is in charge? And we wouldn't have had the fallout over Katrina if Karl Rove hadn't been distracted or no having surgery. He was having surgery at that time. And to talk about Karl Rove just for a minute. Karl Rove is going back to the grand jury to testify for the third time, and this time the prosecutor has said anything that you say will be used against, can and will be used against you. He testified two other times where they said it couldn't be used against him. Now understand, just let me walk you through a little bit of this. When Karl Rove testified the first time in front of the grand jury, Fitzgerald wasn't in charge. It was Ashcroft. Ashcroft left. Fitzgerald was appointed. And Karl Rove was given immunity on both of those. Now, if he said, I'm sure his testimony, and the speculation is that his testimony the first time he testified was that cavalier, not well thought out because they didn't think this was going to go anywhere type of testimony. So now the third time around, Karl Rove is in a world of trouble because he's testified twice differently. Because his attitude was different. They never thought that this was going to go anywhere. So he's in a world of hurt. And it is it's going to be a big deal. What lawyers that are close to the case are saying, that Prosecutor Fitzgerald appears to be focusing in part on the discrepancies of testimony between Karl Rove and Matt Cooper about their conversation on July 11, 2003. In Cooper's report, Karl Rove told Cooper that the wife of White House critic Joseph Wilson worked at the quote-unquote agency on weapons of mass destruction issues and was responsible for sending Wilson on the trip to Niger to check out the claims that Iraq was trying to buy uranium. Okay, that's what Cooper told the grand jury. But oops, double oops, problematic oops. Rove did not disclose this conversation to the FBI when he was first interviewed by the agent in the fall of 2003. Nor did he mention it during his first grand jury appearance. Oops, double oops, problematic oops. And now I think that we're trying to get some distance between Karl Rove and George W. Bush, because apparently Karl Rove didn't tell George W. Bush about it either. But after Karl Rove testified, a email was discovered that Karl Rove had sent on that same day, July 11th, alerting Deputy National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley that Karl Rove, he, had just talked to Cooper. In the email, Rove said that Cooper pushed him on whether the president was being hurt by the Niger controversy. I didn't take the bait. Karl Rove wrote Hadley, adding that he warned Cooper not to get out too far on front on this. Huh. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Oops. Double oops. Problematic oops. If Martha Stewart can go to jail for lying to the FBI, can Carl? And I bet you by golly wow that if Karl Rove is sentenced to some time, he won't go ahead and serve his time and get it out the way. If Martha Stewart can go to jail for lying to the FBI, certainly Karl Rove can. And as good little Catholic boys and girls out there everywhere are taught, there are lies of commission and lies of omission. Not telling is also a lie. And that works in the legal world, too. At least enough to get your behind indicted. These are troubling times, and the trouble, you can see the trouble in the White House through the appointment of Harriet, a woman that puts the C in cronyism. That's how important Karl Rove is to the White House. Look what they do without him. Look what they do. You're on the White House. You're on a wake up call.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think what you're seeing is Bush is putting his administration in a transition. You notice Karen Hughes is back on the scene. She has been a couple of weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I wonder what kind of suckers they think these American people are.
I think it's clear what kind of suckers they think we are. You know, he gave this speech on 9/11 that he wanted to give before Katrina,
yeah,
and expected us to be scared into trusting him.
And now with this bird flu stuff, but anyway, I guess that's about it for right now. I just wanted to pitch this out there about Karen Hughes.
She was supposed to be pulling together the Middle East, and now she's back because Karl Rove is gone.
And she's the one who went back to her family because she couldn't handle being alone with them. What it is, they were at war within that White House with Karl Rove. Thank you very much.
All right. 454-0400. We're going to take a break, folks. We're going to come back with another story I think is going to be very, very interesting to you. Stay with me. But she doesn't hear a word that he said.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Eastbound 44, west of Pacific at the 256-mile marker. There's an accident reported. Northbound 55 from Imperial, Maine, all the way to Rivas Barracks. No problems reported. Eastbound 44 from the Chrysler plant through Big Bend, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and McKnight, everything's running smoothly. Eastbound 70 from 370 to the Blanchett Bridge, no problems there. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 from Riverview to Washington Elizabeth looks good. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for that traffic to start to stack up. Westbound 55-70 split at the Poplar Street Bridge, that traffic is building as well. Westbound 64 to 5570 merged. Look for no problems to report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from McLeod's Landing looks good. And northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. No problems in those approaches at this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight ground or even the heavy stuff, you can rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For the remainder of your Columbus Day, partly cloudy skies, high in the upper 60s this evening. Partly cloudy with a low in the lower 50s. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high around 70. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy, in the evening becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 50s. And on Wednesday, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of showers with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 52 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 50. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We will take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Coming up on October 17th, it's a special two-hour edition of Mondays at 9. We should call it Mondays at 8. Our special guest is Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President. Dr. Frank is a professor of psychiatry at George Washington Medical School. His publication takes a look at the actions of President Bush over the last several years. Dr. Frank says the inconsistencies and denials he exhibits are troubling. His tendency to avoid taking responsibility is a pattern that has gone on long before he became president, and this leads to concerns about the safety of all people whose lives he touches. This interview will be full of revelations that will seem outrageous. But when you put all the pieces together, the picture becomes clear. In addition, we'll have several copies of the book to give away to the listening audience during the interview. So don't miss this special edition of Mondays at 9, starting at 8, on Monday, October 17th, with Dr. Justin Frank and Bush on the Couch, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Journalist Juan Williams will be our guest on the Wake Up Call Monday morning at 8. The poor guy took a serious beatdown last Sunday on Fox News Sunday over the Bill Bennett remarks about black people. And we decided it might be nice to let him say how he feels about that issue and others without being ridiculed or put down. Mr. Williams is a nationally respected journalist who worked for the Washington Post for over 20 years, part of which as White House correspondent. He's also an Emmy Award winner for several powerful documentaries he wrote. And he's also the author of Eyes on the Prize and Thurgood Marshall, American Revolutionary. The Wake Up Call welcomes Juan Williams, Monday morning at 8.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement,
call 361-9191
or toll free 866-361-9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
The Wake Up Call launches a new monthly feature beginning Monday. It's called the Wake Up Call Business Spotlight and will highlight and salute businesses and entrepreneurs that you may not be familiar with but still may have need of the goods and services they offer. The initial segment will feature Alicia Campbell and Black is Beautiful in Design. Don't miss the Wake Up Call Monthly Business Spotlight coming up Monday morning at 7 with Liz Brown. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Because you want to know what you're going to get in me. Just a little touch of star quality. And if that's the right, go too far. It's because of the things you are. Beautiful sound. I love you.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. It's been a bad weekend. I was reading a couple of things over the weekend. I was just kind of going through my mind of what appears to be coming down the pike for us. And none of it is good. We can look at Katrina and look at what our good government did in the face of, and in the face of the immediate things that our good government did in the face of the challenge of Katrina. Set aside habeas corpus, dispensing with rights for arrest, procedures that guarantee appearance of trial. They lost their mind in Katrina with the military. And I am talking about, in particular, New Orleans. And understand that the things that were happening in New Orleans are, I think, the result of this country allowing our civil rights to be sacrificed on the altar of law and order. When you let bad things continue to happen unchecked, unchallenged, then people that do bad things will become emboldened and feel that they can do them all the time. And as evidence, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, of that, let me share with you something that happened in New Orleans over the weekend. Listen to this.
Nearly a month and a half after Hurricane Katrina brought life in New Orleans to a screeching halt, nightlife is picking up, but there are signs of tension. In the French Quarter Saturday night, this arrest was caught on tape. Initially, one officer was attempting to arrest the man up against the wall, 64-year-old Robert Davis. Davis appears to be resisting efforts to restrain him. Watch what happens in the scuffle that follows. An officer on horseback moves in front of an Associated Press cameraman, but over the horse's flanks, you can see one of the officers punching Davis
Stop
in the head.
Stop it just for a second,
multiple
Howard.
Times.
Howard, and I want you to understand and try to get a better picture of this. This is a 64-year-old black man in the New Orleans French Quarter. A camera crew happened to be there just shooting the nightlife. And he is being beaten down by at least four officers, just punching him. And what was fascinating was the instinct of the one cop that was on horseback. It was astounding how everywhere the camera went, the horse, he maneuvered his horse in an expert way to keep the camera from trying to see what was going on. And the camera, but fortunately, the camera could see through over a part of, he couldn't hide everything. But there was this big black horse, and it's behind. The cop maneuvered his behind, his hindquarters, so that the hoping that the camera would not be able to see the beatdown of a 64-year-old man by the police. And then it gets worse.
If you look again, it appears the officer hits Davis at least four times.
At least.
Now there are four officers, and they manage to get Davis to the ground, still trying to handcuff him. As he comes up, he doesn't have any obvious injuries, but back on the ground, a different officer appears to hit Davis in the face. Associated Press producer Rich Matthews shows his media credentials and tries to question a New Orleans police officer arriving on the scene. The officer confronts the crew, demanding they stop recording and leave.
Stop it for a second, Howard. Now, here we have this police officer talking about how he's been in New Orleans for 6 weeks and going through all of this stuff in New Orleans. He's tense, and basically what he's saying is that what I imagine, no, not what I imagine, what I have read, that military folks said in Abu Ghraib, these are tense times. We were just letting off some steam as we put electrical probes on men's genitals, paraded them around naked for our entertainment. These are stressful times. You need to back off of us because we're under stress. Now, it is wrong to treat any human being this way, but we're talking about cops. beating an African, white cops beating a black man, 64-year-old man, in New Orleans. God only knows what he's been through in New Orleans. And then you want to yell at the producers that are shooting this, saying that you as a cop are under stress. Do it again, Howard.
Clear if anything happened while the camera was briefly off the arrest scene, but now there's a large pool of blood coming from Davis's head, and he's no longer struggling.
Mm.
One witness tells the Associated Press crew off camera what he saw.
Hey, you got that on film, right? He surrendered to them, and then they hit him in the back of the head. That's when he turned around and started fighting, right?
A police department spokesman says three officers will be immediately suspended and arrested for simple battery.
I want to make it perfectly clear to the listening audience that there is a zero tolerance by every member of this department who may step out of line, and there is no excuse.
The New Orleans police officer who confronted the AP crew identifies himself as S.M. Smith.
Smith, S.M. Smith, 1792, write it down. You got your pen. You got your pen.
And stop before a second, Howard. I just want you to understand and feel what I saw on this video. If you haven't had a chance to see this video, the cop is so emboldened after his beatdown of this 64-year-old man that he walks up to the cameraman who he struck at. The cameraman, they tried to strike the cameraman as well, and the cop was so emboldened that he said to the cameraman, he gave him his name. And he told the cameraman to take out your pen and make sure you write this down. Take out your pen and write my number down, because he was so sure that it wasn't going to happen to him. And my question to you is, how were people treated by this man before the flood? He said, take out your pen and write it down. Write my number down, is what he said. And I want you to hear this last bit of this so that you know what this 64-year-old man who got a beat down from the cops, what he's facing.
Davis has been charged with public intoxication, resisting arrest, battery on a police officer, and public intimidation.
Ain't that some stuff? You beat down by four or five different cops, and you charged with public intimidation. Ain't that some stuff? Whew. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much, much, much to talk about. Let's take a break. It's been a bad weekend. It's been a really, really, really bad weekend.
What's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Cut your gas cost in half. Team up to share the ride to work in a carpool or vanpool. Thousands of St. Louis area commuters have discovered how ride sharing with ride finders can combat the sting of rising gas prices, and you can too. RideFinders offers an exclusive computerized ride matching service that matches commuters throughout the region who share similar workday commutes so they can contact one another to share the ride in a carpool or vanpool. The ride matching service is provided by RideFinders free of charge and is available online at ridefinders.org or toll-free at 800-VIP-RIDE. The higher gas prices get, the more savings you'll see. Add more passengers to your carpool and save even more. Call RideFinders today at 800-VIP-RIDE and ease the strain that record gas prices are putting on your wallet. That's 800-VIP-RIDE.
Coming up on October 17th, it's a special two-hour edition of Mondays at 9. We should call it Mondays at 8. Our special guest is Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President. Dr. Frank is a professor of psychiatry at George Washington Medical School. His publication takes a look at the actions of President Bush over the last several years. Dr. Frank says the inconsistencies and denials he exhibits are troubling. His tendency to avoid taking responsibility is a pattern that has gone on long before he became president, and this leads to concerns about the safety of all people whose lives he touches. This interview will be full of revelations that will seem outrageous, but when you put all the pieces together, the picture becomes clear. In addition, we'll have several copies of the book to give away to the listening audience during the interview. So don't miss this special edition of Mondays at 9, starting at 8, on Monday, October 17th, with Dr. Justin Frank and Bush on the Couch, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. Former Defense Intelligence Agency analyst Larry Franklin has taken a plea arrangement in connection with a charge of spying. Reports indicated he admitted to the U.S. Attorney's Office that he passed classified information to a political officer at the Israeli embassy in Washington, who was also acting as the Mossad station chief in the nation's capital. Prosecutor Paul McNulty has also charged two former officials of the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee with illegally receiving classified information from Franklin. Further indictments may be forthcoming, as Franklin has agreed to help the government with more prosecution as part of his plea arrangement. Franklin also mentioned Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld's name in the investigation, saying he kept a number of classified documents at his home in West Virginia in order to provide direct answers to questions from higher-ups in the Pentagon, including Rumsfeld. Israel has denied it ever spied on the U.S., as it considers America a close ally. And Dateline Washington. Republican leaders in the House held a closed-door meeting last Thursday and agreed to raise the cuts to federal entitlement programs from $35 billion to at least $50 billion. Tens of millions will be slashed from most programs that benefit the poor, including Medicaid. The chair of the Budget Committee says he's going to call for across-the-board cuts of up to 2%, even to Homeland Security and defense programs, which have not been chopped by the budget acts before. The federal budget deficit for the year ending September 30th shows that it's about $100 billion less than last year and $14 billion less than what was projected just 2 months ago. A coalition of over 700 social welfare groups and activists have circulated a petition on Capitol Hill seeking a moratorium on any budget and tax cuts for this session. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Journalist Juan Williams will be our guest on the Wake Up Call Monday morning at 8. The poor guy took a serious beatdown last Sunday on Fox News Sunday over the Bill Bennett remarks about black people. And we decided it might be nice to let him say how he feels about that issue and others without being ridiculed or put down. Mr. Williams is a nationally respected journalist who worked for the Washington Post for over 20 years, part of which as White House correspondent. He's also an Emmy Award winner for several powerful documentaries he wrote. And he's also the author of Eyes on the Prize and Thurgood Marshall, American Revolutionary. The Wake Up Call welcomes Juan Williams, Monday morning at 8.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The number of deaths from this disease are actually declining. Declining because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings, which detect the disease at its earliest and most curable stages. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Women over 40 need to schedule their annual mammograms now. And if you're a woman of any age and are at risk, talk to your doctor. You can find easy-to-understand information from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
The Wake Up Call launches a new monthly feature beginning Monday. It's called the Wake Up Call Business Spotlight and will highlight and salute businesses and entrepreneurs that you may not be familiar with but still may have need of the goods and services they offer. The initial segment will feature Alicia Campbell and Black is Beautiful in Design. Don't miss the Wake Up Call Monthly Business Spotlight coming up Monday morning at 7 with Liz Brown. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
My life goes by, and at times I wonder why I even try. Well, I try because I like to finish what I start, and I have faith it can get better tomorrow. But it won't if you keep treating me like I'm invisible.
Baby, you won't treat me the way you're treating me. Baby, you won't.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. 454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. We have a lot to talk about. It's been a bad weekend, y'all. We need to talk about this stuff. 454-0400 is the phone number. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
On this beautiful Monday. However, I don't feel that guy down in New Orleans is feeling so great today. It looks like it's back to business as usual from their police force, at least a segment of the police force. They've been notorious for doing this type of stuff, so, you know, I'm not surprised. And as you, you know, you made a beautiful correlation between what we just saw on television and what went on in the prisons of Iraq that we have control of, and what also went on with Rodney King. Now, I hear that the brother, well, no, I saw that the brother was once again had a brush with the law. Did he do something? I don't know. You know, that's for the courts to decide. But I know in, what was that, 1992, I saw a brother get the black beat off of him, and it was horrible. And I know that we're going to have the exact same opinions coming from the various ethnic and racial groups in this country. There's going to be those that are like me and say, well, I just saw another brother get a beat down. And then there are going to be others that say, well, he's a resisting arrest. Now, you know,
well, the good news,
our country at its finest. Our country at its worst.
The good news is that the cops have been suspended without pay. The good news is that the spokesperson did not come on immediately defending these people. That's the good news. And the better news would be that the charges against him, the victim, were dropped.
And that the charges against the police, the perpetrators,
yes,
of that horrible incident that I saw, are stepped up.
If they can charge a 70-something-year-old woman with looting after stealing, or that they said she stole $63 worth of food during the height of Katrina, if they can charge her with that crime and keep her locked up for weeks and weeks and weeks, they certainly can charge these cops with assault when we have it on videotape that they did do it.
Exactly. And one last thing, and that's about the president. It looks like his game is falling apart, really.
It's astounding.
And, you know, I'll go back to no people, I say few people that look like you and me have ever believed anything that this guy has said. But it's all of those constituents that just love his feet, the smell of his toes. You guys should really be waking up by this point. Or you fellow citizens should be waking up to the fact that this cat is just as corrupt as Bill Clinton. Much worse. The difference is, Clinton, he was a rat. Now, y'all said that he needs to be impeached because he lied under oath. Well, this guy has lied to you in your face, refused to go under oath when, you know, it was his turn to be vetted. His boy is getting ready to go and get towed out the frame, and I'm speaking of Karl Rove.
And he's gotten a lot of folks killed. Now, who's worse? And I got to go. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Kate.
Kate. Okay, Liz.
Yes.
My husband, he would like to talk to you off the air. Is that possible? Is there anything that he want to talk to you?
I'll put you on hold. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. In the next half an hour or so, we're going to be talking to Alicia Campbell of Black is Beautiful in Design. We're starting a new segment, Spotlight on Local Businesses here. If you're a local business, you want to take a listen to this. We'll be listening for you to call in and talk about some of the challenges that you face with businesses and the wonderful part of owning businesses, and any kind of comments that you would like as we kick off a new segment this Monday called the Business Wake Up Call Business Spotlight. And our first guest will be Alicia Campbell of Black is Beautiful in Design. You don't want to miss that, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. And don't forget, in the next hour, in the 8 o'clock hour, Juan Williams will be on the show. You don't want to miss that either. You don't want to miss any hour that we do here. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us. We have much, much, much to talk about.
People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that? I remember saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News, I'm Liz White. Food, water, shelter, medicine, survivors of the killer quake that crumbled parts of Pakistan, India, and Afghanistan are desperate for those basics.
85 to 90% of buildings destroyed is devastating. We've had 6 search and rescue teams out around the local schools this morning. So far, no one's been pulled out alive.
Andrew McLeod is a UN relief coordinator in Islamabad. At least 20,000 people may have been killed. Millions may be homeless. ABC's David Wright has more on the relief effort.
The first U.S. supplies started rolling in today. The U.S. is sending at least 8 helicopters as well as some cash in order to help Pakistan in the relief efforts. And there was a brief handover ceremony here in Islamabad today. It's much needed supplies because one of the biggest problems that they face here is how to transport food and medicine and other necessary supplies to some of the more remote areas, many of which are completely inaccessible now.
President Bush heads back to the hurricane zone along the U.S. Gulf Coast, his 8th trip in 6 weeks. ABC's Ann Compton has more from the White House.
Housing is the focus of this return trip of the president to New Orleans. The most critical need, according to the White House, is long-term housing for thousands as shelters close and relief officials try to get families out of hotels. President Bush will also pick up a hammer to help Habitat for Humanity with some construction in Mississippi.
3 New Orleans cops are suspended without pay, facing battery charges. A videotape shows 2 of them punching a man accused of public intoxication. Another is shown assaulting the TV producer who helped tape the arrest. It could have been 2 games in 1.
Swinging, lining it to left.
The Astros and Braves went 18 innings, the longest postseason game in Major League history. Houston won. Roger Clemens says it's the type of game that lured him out of retirement. This is ABC News.
This Walmart opening has made a difference to a lot of people because this was a community that did need jobs.
When you lose your job, you're lost.
Walmart provided 450 jobs.
I think we really changed some lives when we opened the store.
And I'm glad to see that it happened here in Gastonia.
Now that we've built this place from the ground up, it's much closer to our hearts.
It gives us a real good sense of the future. Walmart will be there.
This is the store we needed as much as it needed us.
No prescription drug coverage? Now there's help. Introducing the Merck Prescription Discount Program. You may be eligible for discounts of 15 to 40% on Merck drugs regardless of age or income. Call 1-800-50-MERCK to enroll. It's free to join and there are no membership costs. The new Merck Prescription Discount Program. It's one more way Merck puts patients first. Call 1-800-50-MERCK.
Wave bye-bye to bland baby food. Some pediatricians say you can broaden a baby's palate.
Think beyond mashed peas and rice cereal when it's time for solid food. A Stanford University pediatrics professor says try something with a little pizzazz. Curry, even hot peppers. He says offering fruits before veggies won't breed a sweet tooth. Dr. David Bergman says there's little evidence to support the myths that surround infant feeding. It's mostly cultural, and research suggests a child's first experiences with food shape later eating habits.
ABC's Joan Bennett. Flashback to a simpler time, a gas station manager goofed in Lincoln, Nebraska, setting the price at some premium unleaded pumps back to 1955. When gas sold for 29 cents a gallon. Word spread, lines formed, and people filled up for a full 45 minutes until the mistake was caught. One guy said he was running on empty and filled his tank for about $4, and it made his day. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Chris Lane, and this WGNU News Report is brought to you by FedEx Kinko's. Detectives from the Maryland Heights and Bridgeton Police Department say one man is behind bars in connection with a string of armed robberies in the area. On Saturday, 19-year-old Joseph Schlesser was charged with two counts of first-degree robbery, one count of first-degree attempted robbery, three counts of armed criminal action, and one count of unlawful possession of a weapon. Schlesser was allegedly involved in the attempted robbery of a McDonald's restaurant on Dorset Road last Monday. Bond is set at $35,000. Some local school officials are reacting to the new Missouri graduation requirements. Starting with the high school class of 2010, Missouri students must complete at least 24 credits to graduate from high school, which is two more than the current requirement. Lutheran North High School curriculum coordinator Carl Holschen says he likes the idea of raising the graduation requirement and doesn't think it will affect his students much.
Our school already requires 27 credits for graduation, so requiring 24 is still under the minimum level that we have. So I don't think for many, especially parochial and private schools and many public schools, it's going to have a great effect on the students that we have.
The requirements increase impacts math, science, English, and social studies courses. It also requires students to successfully complete half-unit courses in health education and personal finance. With three major athletic teams in play, St. Louis sports fans are having a field day. Mark Schreiber, the vice president of marketing for the St. Louis Sports Commission, says it's a special time in St. Louis with the Blues back in action and the Cardinals in the playoffs. Schreiber says, in addition to the playoffs and the return of hockey are a great financial boost for the city. He says the longer the Cardinals stay in the playoffs, the better it will be economically for the region. And finally, U.S. Senator Jim Talent of Missouri is trying to help solve the meth problem in the U.S. Talent will co-chair the Senate's new bipartisan anti-meth caucus. He says one of the caucus's goals is to continue partnering with local law enforcement to push for legislation that helps stay ahead of the meth cooks. This includes finding additional funding and other tools to keep meth out of the nation's schools and neighborhoods. For overnight, ground, even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. That's the news for the 7 o'clock hour. Now here's Howard Morton with a look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Eastbound 44 between the Viaduct and Pacific, that traffic is easing after an earlier accident. Northbound 55 between 270 and Virginia, no problems report. Eastbound 44 from Lewis all the way into the Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason Road, look for very heavy volume this hour. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to Doherty Ferry, look for slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain to Graham Hanley looks good. Eastbound 70 at 79. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. You've got very heavy volume this hour. Westbound 55-70 split at the PSB. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 at the 55-70 split. Look for traffic to be flowing freely this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. And northbound Route 3 onto the approaches of the Poplar Street Bridge, you have no problems to report there. Bayless at Union, there's a report of an accident, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines has three daily flights from St. Louis to Fort Myers, Naples. Are you thinking what they're thinking? Maybe it's time to see Fort Myers, Naples. Visit southwestairlines.com today for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. For today, partly cloudy skies, high in the upper 60s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 70. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 50s. And then on Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers. The high should be around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under mostly clear skies, we have 52 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 50. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We're going to start with our business spotlight. That comes up next on the wake-up call. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Coming up on October 17th, it's a special two-hour edition of Mondays at 9. We should call it Mondays at 8. Our special guest is Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President. Dr. Frank is a professor of psychiatry at George Washington Medical School. His publication takes a look at the actions of President Bush over the last several years. Dr. Frank says the inconsistencies and denials he exhibits are troubling. His tendency to avoid taking responsibility is a pattern that has gone on long before he became president, and this leads to concerns about the safety of all people whose lives he touches. This interview will be full of revelations that will seem outrageous. But when you put all the pieces together, the picture becomes clear. In addition, we'll have several copies of the book to give away to the listening audience during the interview. So don't miss this special edition of Mondays at 9, starting at 8, on Monday, October 17th, with Dr. Justin Frank and Bush on the Couch, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Yet many are denied equal treatment. say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. There's so much stuff to talk about. We're starting this morning a new segment of the Wake Up Call. A segment that is all about a business. There are a lot of businesses out there in this city that you need to know about, and I think that it's important also to learn about what the challenges that people face when they start their own business, and what it's like, how important it is to have your own business, what it brings to the to your life when you have your own business. And I also want to use this monthly feature as an opportunity for folks to connect with businesses out there. There are a lot of businesses out there, and a lot you need to know about. And we will also want to, one of our monthly features will also include some businesses that you do know about, and we want to talk about those as well. But we want to start with kind of the type of business, I think, that really should speak to a lot of folks out there. A woman-owned business, a business that focuses on items that are all about the African culture. And so let me, with no further ado, let me introduce our first entrepreneur on the Wake Up Call Business Spotlight, Alicia Campbell of Black is Beautiful in Design. Alicia, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm outstanding. So, Alicia, Black is Beautiful in Design. Tell us about that.
Well, where
did you get the name?
Well, Black is Beautiful in Design is a reminder to people of how beautiful they are, people of color, of how beautiful of people they are. I originally come up with the name through the history of a time when people were coming into themselves as far as the power that they had inside them.
And everything in your business reflects this.
That is correct.
So tell us about some of the items what goes into your decision-making of what you should bring into your business and sell? Because when you do a retail business like this, there are a million things that you can select to bring into your business. What goes through your mind, and how is that decision made?
Well, this decision is actually made by how it's produced, where it comes from. We focus basically on people of color, things that are actually either handmade or are produced or manufactured by people of color.
So what is it that you sell?
Oh, well, we sell hand carvings, home decor, candles, handmade candles, art, we have books. There's just an array of everything that
you have. Clothing and
yes,
and beauty,
yes,
care items.
Correct.
And the interesting thing, and I think that the fascinating thing is that a lot of your items are produced by people from Africa,
yes,
or people of African descent on location even.
Yes, Yes.
Tell us about some of the items that were produced that came from Africa. What are some of your favorite items you have for sale in Black is Beautiful? Design?
Well, some of my favorite, my favorite is the Sankofa.
Mm-hmm.
The Sankofa bird is actually a hand carving of actually meaning that one should look to their past to get what they have lost. And the bird is carved looking in the rear position to symbolize just that. These items make excellent gifts for the family and friends. And it, like I said, it symbolizes looking back and getting what we lost in the, from the past.
And there's something else that you're doing very special, because a lot of places sell candles, but you're doing something different with candles. Tell us about that.
The candles are actually, like I said, handmade.
Mm-hmm.
There's a talented sister from out of Chicago, Angel Adawu, who actually will be here in St. Louis to feature some of her candles. And she actually is from Waxy Desires out of Chicago, and she hand makes everything, and these are from candles that look like food and was excellent. I mean, if you when you smell these, you'll know that they are nowhere else other than, you know, Waxy Desires.
And she's going to be in town.
Yes, she will. She'll be here on the 22nd to feature here at the store.
And what time will she be there?
She'll be here on the 22nd from 2 to 4.
And give folks your address.
We are located at 8557 Airport Road in St. Louis, Missouri.
And the phone number?
521-1493.
521-1493. That is Black is Beautiful in Design. And now, Alicia, what made you decide that you were going to open a business? Because that's not something that you've always done, is it?
No. Actually, I've worked on job as a receptionist, and I actually put Black is Beautiful together because of the fact that jobs were so few. I thought that on an hourly wage, I prefer to do something that I love to do, and that's meet people and talking. So I enjoy doing that, and I figured that, you know, I would rather spend my time putting something together for us rather than to put my time into someone else's business.
So it was important to you to own something of your own.
Exactly.
And how much of a challenge is it? Because, you know, you have a husband and family.
Yes. So, it is a challenge putting something together like that because of the simple fact that funds aren't available. What we've been doing in the last couple of years is working on jobs and putting the money into the store to put this together, and it's not easy. I've went through to the Grace Hill Business Center, and they have a list or a line of actual different lectures that you go through, maybe meeting the lender, marketing and ideas. And that helped me to put this actually together.
So it's important to take advantage of courses like that or seminars like that,
mm-hmm.
to help because you've never done that before.
No, I haven't. You know, I was coming in from scratch. You know, I'd never done anything else other than working for someone else. And you can grab along things that you've learned along with that. But basically, a lot of information came from going to seminars, lectures, resources. That are here in St. Louis, and one was the Displaced Homemakers Program, which helped a lot.
And do you get a lot of support from your family for doing this?
Oh, yes. They've been very supportive with me from beginning to end. my children, my daughter, actually, she's very supportive. She actually come up with some of our ideas that we've incorporated here in the bookstore, as far as the book club and different things, because we're readers.
And one of the things that I think is very, very powerful and important about and cool about the idea of Black is Beautiful in Designs is that you have a lot of books for preschoolers and up to
yes,
read.
Yes.
Tell us about the types of books that you have.
Well, We encourage all the children to read, and the selection of the children's books are from, like I said, preschool level and up. And it's illustrated solely for the child, only for the children who look like, you know, who look like them in the book, so that it's easier for them to relate to them.
And you have a nice selection of the books for babies of color, you know, that they will open up a book and they will see themselves in it.
Yes.
And so you have a lot of those.
Yes.
And also, what other kind of books do you have?
Well, we always want to lead by example and for the parents and ask that question, have you read a good book lately? And it's because it's important that the child sees the mom, dad reading, and then they'll want to grab along. And an awesome book that I always recommend to young girls, especially from 16 to 21, is Sister Soldier, The Coldest Winter Ever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for girls trying to live too fast,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the bumpy road that, you know, that it goes through life because of that fact.
Now, what has been the most rewarding part of having your own business?
I believe that comes from within, the feeling of life being worthwhile. I enjoy the people that I meet and the different ideas. Because we have so much within ourselves to share and learn about each other. And this is, Black is Beautiful is somewhere where they can learn about each other, you know, basically, because you're looking at putting the African and African descent together in one location. And a lot of people, unfortunately, don't know a lot about Africa. I still come to the argument of, you know, Egypt still being in Africa and it never moved, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, it's just different people learning about each other and understanding.
And one of the things that I think is helpful in that discussion and helpful in understanding coming to an understanding of what Africa is about is when you have items there from the continent.
Mm-hmm.
You have some cord thread designs, artwork.
Yes.
What is that?
Cord thread is actually pictures of the lifestyle, women and men working. And, you know, it always amazes me because when you see Africa, you see them working. You see them carrying water and different things. So these pictures reflect just that. And it's actually just thread that is maybe the background is white, and it's threaded in white. And then there's, you know, women. And they're basically, and that's the best way I can probably describe it because, like I said, it's a beautiful piece, very colorful, and it's bold.
And if I may, let me give out your website and your phone number and your address here so that people can come in and take a look at it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Black is Beautiful. It's at 8557 Airport Road. The phone number is 521-1493. That's
mm-hmm.
521-1493. The website is www.bibdesign.com. That's bibdesign.com. And When you are out there as an entrepreneur, as a woman business owner, do you run into a lot of other women that have the same or similar types of challenges that you have as an owner? Do you find that there are unique challenges that come to you because you're a woman business owner?
Well, what I've run into, Liz, is a lot of women who want information on how to start themselves.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of young women that are looking at starting home health cares and want to know what do I need to do to get this started. And the first thing, that the only thing that I can really help them to let them know where to start is to basically get a plan and put it together. And that would be going through Grace Hill and getting help to put that together. Like I said, most of the questions are basically geared to, how do I get started?
Is there, would you talk to women about the pacing of this, how much time they should allow themselves for this process of opening, starting, and getting your business going?
Yes, well, if the pace is slow, it takes a little time for it to mature. It's almost like, the best way I can describe it is giving birth.
Mm-hmm.
It takes patience because you're looking at financials that is needed, startup money that needs to be in place, and it's not easy.
Mm-hmm. And also the marketing part of it too is something that I think that a lot of people don't always think about.
Yes, and yes. Very much so. The marketing part of it is very important, and I've come to realize that spending the money that's needed to put the word information out there.
Mm-hmm. To actually have the money set aside
to
promote your business.
Exactly.
Because you could have the best business in the world, but if nobody knows where it is, people aren't going to be able to find it.
Right.
And in terms of encouragement, what would you say to people to women, to men, to folks that want to start their own business? What would you say to them?
I would say follow your dream. If it's your desire, it will come into realization. But first, there must be a desire there. And when you're ready to give it your all you got. And sacrifice, because I have sacrificed a lot, considering time away from my family. there have been times when there's been, dinner not cooked because mm-hmm. I'm working on or I'm meeting someone or things come up that not allow me to spend time that I normally would spend with my family. And you must be ready to sacrifice those things, but knowing in faith that it will all come together to play in one.
Alicia Campbell, Black is Beautiful in Design, 8557 Airport Road, 521-1493. Website is www.bibdesign.com. That's Alicia Campbell. Thank you so much for kicking off our Wake Up Call Business Spotlight.
Thank you, Liz, for having me.
My pleasure. Alicia, take care.
Thank you.
And my name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We will be back with your calls and comments. You need to get to me at 454-0400, 1-877-920 WGNU. Stay with me.
Still got things fighting on. Yeah. What am I supposed to do? Hey, I'm gonna help fight for you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with Morton Sour Traffic and Weather. Sour Traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Eastbound 44 between Antire and 270, no problems for Fort. Northbound 55 between Weber and the Brewery, everything's on the move. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to Marshall, it is stop and go. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and Midrivers Mall for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Dallas to Lindbergh, you've got slow traffic as well. Eastbound 44 is still heavy approaching Pacific due to an earlier accident. Westbound 5570 split at the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 At the 5570 merge, look for traffic to be flowing freely. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede Landing looks good. And northbound Illinois Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, look for normal traffic this hour. Route 21 and Highway Y, the signals there are not working. Riverview at Spring Garden, look for an injury accident there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight ground or even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the upper 60s this evening. Partly cloudy with a low in the lower 50s for Tuesday. Partly sunny skies, high around 70. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy once again in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 50s. Then on Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 52 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 51, both under mostly clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Journalist Juan Williams will be our guest on the Wake Up Call Monday morning at 8. The poor guy took a serious beatdown last Sunday on Fox News Sunday over the Bill Bennett remarks about black people. And we decided it might be nice to let him say how he feels about that issue and others without being ridiculed or put down. Mr. Williams is a nationally respected journalist who worked for the Washington Post for over 20 years, part of which as White House correspondent. He's also an Emmy Award winner for several powerful documentaries he wrote. And he's also the author of Eyes on the Prize and Thurgood Marshall, American Revolutionary. The Wake Up Call welcomes Juan Williams Monday morning at 8.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Influenza can be a serious disease, especially if you're at high risk.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma, diabetes, or any other chronic medical condition, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're pregnant during influenza season, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're 50 or older, yes. If your child is between 6 and 23 months, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you live or work with anyone in these high-risk groups, yes. Prevent influenza. Get immunized. Some people don't think influenza is serious, but they're wrong. Dead wrong. This year's influenza virus will kill as many as 36,000 people. Influenza is that serious. We are too.
Are you talking to me?
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 Yes, we're talking to you.
Influenza vaccine is available in a variety of places. Contact your healthcare provider to learn more. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and this station.
Take on the day and take on Dr. Laura Schlesinger on the internet at WGNU.net.
Coming up on October 17th, it's a special two-hour edition of Mondays at 9. We should call it Mondays at 8. Our special guest is Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President. Dr. Frank is a professor of psychiatry at George Washington Medical School. His publication takes a look at the actions of President Bush over the last several years. Dr. Frank says the inconsistencies and denials he exhibits are troubling. His tendency to avoid taking responsibility is a pattern that has gone on long before he became president, and this leads to concerns about the safety of all people whose lives he touches. This interview will be full of revelations that will seem outrageous. But when you put all the pieces together, the picture becomes clear. In addition, we'll have several copies of the book to give away to the listening audience during the interview. So don't miss this special edition of Mondays at 9, starting at 8, on Monday, October 17th, with Dr. Justin Frank and Bush on the Couch, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it. Not even if no one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the
greatest man alive.
Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the
greatest man alive.
I can't sweat it.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And, Howard, I want to do that again. I think it's important that we see, try to follow as best we can all of the aftermath of Katrina. And not only just the aftermath of Katrina, but the opportunity that Katrina offers us to offers this nation to change the horrible racist things that it does, the horrible things that this country does in the name of class, the horrible decisions this country makes based upon politics. Katrina is offering this country an opportunity to do that. And the way that it's doing that is that Katrina reveals. I mean, the fact of the matter is Katrina came down through Louisiana and the Gulf Coast and washed away a whole lot of stuff in order for you to see some things. Check out this news story.
Nearly a month and a half after Hurricane Katrina brought life in New Orleans to a screeching halt, nightlife is picking up. But there are signs of tension. In the French Quarter Saturday night, this arrest was caught on tape. Initially, one officer was attempting to arrest the man up against the wall, 64-year-old Robert Davis. Davis appears to be resisting efforts to restrain him. Watch what happens in the scuffle that follows. An officer on horseback moves in front of an associate press cameraman, but over the horse's flanks, you can see one of the officers punching Davis in the head.
Hold for a second. When you watch this video and see, make a point to try and catch this video. It's a beatdown. It's a beatdown of a 64-year-old man. Now remember, New Orleans should be. This is very important. One would think that New Orleans would be grateful for any brave soul that would come down and drop a dime in purchasing something from New Orleans, given what New Orleans has gone through and what it is. They just laid off 3,000 workers last week. Any kind of tax revenue coming into the city should be, one would think, that those that live in the city, that protect the city, that care about the future of the city, would be more than falling all over themselves to, you know, I can't even imagine what would have, I think that almost that if this 64-year-old man was drunk, walking down the streets of New Orleans, first of all, that's hard to even figure out how he caught the police attention, because that's what folks do, wandering down the streets of New Orleans. And secondly, one would think that everybody would be so grateful to see that New Orleans is starting to come and to be what it is. What could this man have done that caught the eye of the police? What could he have done? A 64-year-old man, and the one of the reasons to watch this tape is to see how expertly, the cop on horseback wasn't trying to help the 64-year-old that was being beat down. Black man. Did I say black man? White cops, I mentioned that. Huh. Katrina reveals, y'all. This is a big story. The way that this cop took this horse and flipped it and pushed it and expertly backed it up, backed that thing up so that it kept you from seeing, and in an attempt to keep you from seeing the beat down. It was stunning. It was a stunning thing. But fortunately, the camera was able to peek over the behind of this horse that they were trying to cover up what they were doing. Keep going. Keep it going, Alan.
Multiple times. If you look again, it appears the officer hits Davis at least four times. Now there are four officers, and they manage to get Davis to the ground, still trying to handcuff him. As he comes up, he doesn't have any obvious injuries, but back on the ground, a different officer appears to hit Davis in the face. Associated Press producer Rich Matthews shows his media credentials and tries to question a New Orleans police officer arriving on the scene. The officer confronts the crew, demanding they stop recording and leave. It's not clear if anything happened while the camera was briefly
off. Stop that for a second. So here I want you to feel that who did the cop direct his, I guess, his ever-ending well of rage at? Where did the rage go? To the camera people. The police officer talking about that he had been here in New Orleans and the camera people need to go. Huh. If it wasn't for camera people, the world wouldn't know what happened to New Orleans. Who would know? You know, if it wasn't for the media broadcasting what Mayor Ray Nagin said about, you know, no more press conferences, we wouldn't have, the White House wouldn't have gotten as shook up as it did. Indeed, I think you could make the argument that but for the cameras, and as a result of the cameras, the eyes of the world watching dead bodies float, watching babies being separated from their mamas and daddies. If it wasn't for the cameras, then the world wouldn't know, and the world wouldn't care. So why is this cop angry at the camera person? The same reason that he's angry at this African man. Keep going, Howard.
Scene, but now there's a large pool of blood coming from Davis's head, and he's no longer struggling. One witness tells the Associated Press crew off camera what he saw.
Hey, you got that on film, right? He surrendered, and then they hit him in the back of the head, and that's when he turned around and started fighting.
A police department spokesman says three officers will be immediately suspended and arrested for simple battery.
I want to make it perfectly clear to the listening audience that there is a zero tolerance by every member of this department who may step out of line, and there is no excuse.
The New Orleans police officer who confronted the AP crew identifies himself as S.M. Smith.
Smith, S.M. Smith, 1792, write it down. You got your pen.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? The cop is, that's how bold the cop was. He said, take out your pen, write my number down. Here's my number, here's my name, S.M. Smith, S.M. Smith, write it down. That's how bold he was, that he just knew that nothing was going to happen to him, and how bold he was in clowning in front of him. You can't do anything to me was what he was saying. Write my name down. Ain't nothing going to happen to me.
Robert Davis has been charged with public intoxication, resisting arrest, battery on a police officer, and public intimidation.
Ain't that some stuff? The victim is charged with public intimidation when he's on the ground, blood pouring out his head. And cops have been charged with assault and suspended. My name is Liz Brown. We have much to talk about. It's been a bad weekend. Whew, we have stuff to talk about. We're going to take a break, folks. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get to me.
Update. Dateline Kabul. The war in Afghanistan may not be proceeding on schedule, but the war in Afghanistan against opium production is a complete failure. A bumper harvest of poppies is being predicted for the year and will allow Afghanistan to account for almost 90% of the world's supply of heroin. When the Taliban fell in 2002, drug production surged significantly as farmers went back to planting the crop that brought them the greatest profits. Analysts say the problem with the American policy is it focuses on destruction of the poppy crop, but does not provide any growing alternatives for the farmers to be prosperous. And Dateline Washington. The decision to suspend the Davis-Bacon prevailing wage law in the storm-struck Gulf Coast region will also serve to grant special status to illegal aliens. Government contracts to companies for rebuilding efforts can be awarded to contractors who are already using thousands of illegal aliens, and they do not receive the minimum wage anyway. The suspension of Davis-Bacon was initiated by Grover Norquist, policy strategist for the Republican Party. Norquist wrote a letter to Labor Secretary Elaine Chao on September 2nd, urging the president to suspend the act, saying that taxpayers should not have to overpay for the cleanup. And by suspending the act, it would make for a quicker recovery. Norquist is president of Americans for Tax Reform and is on the board of the National Rifle Association. His ATR group has had President Bush, 222 House members, and 46 senators pledge to oppose any tax increase by the federal government. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Take a walk to help children with dyslexia at the Masonic Learning Center, 1549 Frank Scott Parkway West in Belleville, Illinois, on Saturday, October 15th at 10 a.m. Register to walk, sponsor a walker, or make a donation by calling the Walk Committee at 618-235-3350. All monies raised by the walk go directly to supporting the children in the Learning Center's program for dyslexic children. News to you from WGNU.
Journalist Juan Williams will be our guest on the Wake Up Call Monday morning at 8. The poor guy took a serious beatdown last Sunday on Fox News Sunday over the Bill Bennett remarks about black people. And we decided it might be nice to let him say how he feels about that issue and others without being ridiculed or put down. Mr. Williams is a nationally respected journalist who worked for the Washington Post for over 20 years, part of which as White House correspondent. He's also an Emmy Award winner for several powerful documentaries he wrote. And he's also the author of Eyes on the Prize and Thurgood Marshall, American Revolutionary. The Wake Up Call welcomes Juan Williams Monday morning at 8.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I've got a hard road to travel and a rough, rough way to go. Said it's a hard road to travel and a rough, rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'll never stop. And my faith will see me through. Let me tell you, I'm all alone.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. In the next hour, Juan Williams is going to join us to talk about the ongoing saga of Bill Bennett and what Bill Bennett said, and also there's some fallout from it. There are protests going on. He's quit jobs. He's been forced off of jobs. Advertisers have dropped some of their association with his radio station. Conservatives bleeding all over this country. What does that mean? You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
The top of the morning to you, Dr. Brown.
The rest of the day to you, Dee.
Thank you. The officer was catching the cookie jar.
Mm.
After he said it was fallen, his hand was not in the cookie jar.
Okay.
On the part of the officer telling you know, his name and badge number,
mm-hmm.
That was not his boldness. That was his feeble attempt to get his butt out of being caught.
Why? How so?
He was cutting his losses. He was attempting to manipulate the situation into an advantage for himself. He knew he was caught.
So
what he was saying was, oh, yeah, my name is so-and-so, J.L. Smith. You do that when you're caught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was catching the cookie jar. His hand wasn't in it, even though he was stealing.
I see.
You see?
I see what you're saying.
That's what he's doing.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, now, 454-0400 is my phone number. That was the cop that was filmed in New Orleans beat down of a 64-year-old man, beat him bloody, he and a bunch of other cops. Imagine that. There can only be about 15 people partying in New Orleans in the business district, and the cops went and found one black man to beat down for horrors of horrors, shock of shock, crimes of crimes, being intoxicated, publicly intoxicated in the New Orleans French Quarter. I think there's an ordinance against you if you're not. I mean, that public drunkenness is the thing that New Orleans prides itself on, the French Quarter prides itself on. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400. There's some fascinating things going on. When I talk about bleeding by the Republican Party, there's blood being spilt all over the place, and you can't help but draw the connection. This kind of hemorrhaging has never happened in this administration. Has never happened in this administration before. It never happened. When you see something happening for the first time, you have to ask yourself, well, what's different now? Oh, what a difference a pending indictment makes. Karl Rove. He was in the hospital when Katrina hit. You see how that worked out for the Bushes. He's trying to dodge an indictment right now. How's that working out for George? Check this out. The Senate has added a measure to a bill that would ban the torture of prisoners by U.S. troops. This is a huge thing. Republican, it was introduced, man behind the legislation was John McCain. who was tortured as a prisoner in Vietnam. He said the move was backed by American soldiers. His amendment would prohibit the cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment of prisoners in the custody of America's Defense Department. How many senators supported this? 90. 90. This has not happened. This has not happened in this administration before. Oh, what a difference a pending indictment makes. And George Bush has said, and understand this, it's like that cop that said, here's my name, here's my number. Yeah, that's what my name is. George Bush has said, I'm going to veto that. I'm going to veto. Understand what this is. This is a piece of legislation that funds the military. George Bush said, I'm going to veto the legislation because it has a protective measure in there to protect prisoners in the care and custody of the United States. George Bush said, I'm against that. Oh, no, I'm against that. I'm against that. I'm going to veto it. And the United States Senate said, go ahead, go right ahead on. I mean, that ain't nothing but a thing. We're going to, what do they call that? What's the technical term they call for that? Override you. Override you. Huh, Lord, Lord. Whew, it's bad times for this administration. Bad times. Oh, what a difference a pending indictment makes. In the next hour, speaking of bad times for conservative Republicans, the bastions of ethics and values, Bill Bennett, we're going to be talking about him in the next hour. Juan Williams of Fox News Sunday is going to be joining us from Washington, D.C. to talk about an exchange that he had with other members of the Fair and Balanced News team, Fox, on this Bill Bennett issue. What does it say about us as a nation? What does it say about us in the issue of race? We'll be back. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
I will never tell you the progress that you made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound at the below, that's the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, feel my brother.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. An agonizing wait. Some survivors of the earthquake that devastated parts of Pakistan, India, and Afghanistan are said to be fighting over food and water. More than 30,000 people may have been killed in the quake. Millions may be homeless, and the BBC's Zafar Abbas tells us.
Rescue work is going on, but people are not happy in the sense that they want many more. And one can see that because the life over here is one of desperation, of disgust, of panic, of fear, and people want food, people want water, and people want immediate medical help.
He's in hard-hit Muzaffarabad. Aid is on the way. ABC's Ann Compton has more on what the U.S. is doing.
The first of four American cargo planes lands in Pakistan today, bringing 5,000 winterized tents, rolls of plastic sheeting, water. Three more shipments should arrive tomorrow, backed up with what the White House calls an initial donation of $50 million in cash.
There are questions about one possible casualty of the quake, but no sure answers. ABC's David Wright has more on that from Islamabad.
One of the mysteries of this earthquake is the ongoing mystery about Osama bin Laden. He is thought to be hiding out in one of the regions that was worst affected by this. We're told by Pakistani government sources that several possible camps, possible Al-Qaeda camps, were destroyed by this. although it's impossible to say whether Osama bin Laden may be counted among the victims of this earthquake.
A suicide car bombing today in Baghdad killed one U.S. soldier and wounded three Iraqis, one of several attacks in Iraq today. An American and an Israeli who also hold U.S. citizenship have won this year's Nobel Prize in Economics. They won for their work in game theory analysis. This is ABC News.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Travelocity presents The Roaming Gnome, denouncer of travel myths. First myth, if you fly for the holidays, you can't afford a trip next year.
Pish! With Travelocity, you'll get a great holiday fare plus up to $100 off your next vacation.
Myth 2, most people put off holiday shopping till the last minute.
Not me. I finished my shopping in 1975. Hope you like pet rocks.
Book a holiday flight with your MasterCard card and get up to $100 off next year's vacation. Restrictions apply. Travelocity.com/holiday for details. Travelocity. You'll never roam alone.
A New Orleans police spokesman calls it troubling. Three cops face battery charges, caught on videotape in a scuffle with a man accused of public intoxication and accused of assaulting a TV news producer.
They punch him. They kick him. His blood is streaming into the gutter. After an exchange of words, the police shift their anger to the camera and the news producer, who refused to leave.
ABC Steve Osunsami, a naked man dangling from the ceiling. That's what police in Darlington, South Carolina, found when they responded to an alarm at a cash advance business. The cop noticed tiles, insulation, wires on the floor and on the roof, and the naked guy. He told police someone tossed his keys on the roof and he was trying to get them back. They said he was a little fuzzy on the naked in the store part. Police think he's stripped to slip in through an air vent. He's been charged with burglary. The cash advance business, by the way, doesn't keep any cash there. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather, as well as the news. This hour's news is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. In the news in your 8 o'clock hour, Attorney General Jay Nixon has a judgment against the group of companies that collected workers' compensation program premiums and failed to implement the coverage. The consent judgment resolves a lawsuit filed by Nixon last year and holds Quick Labor responsible for paying all claims, awards, settlements, and workers' compensation benefits arising from the time period when the insurance coverage was not in force. Quick Labor must also pay $75,000 in penalties to the Show Me State. Some Clayton business owners are working together to bring people into the area to shop and eat. Faith Berger, the owner of Barucci Gallery, says the so-called Clayton Triangle has many restaurants and shops for people to enjoy.
This is still an area that, you know, neighborhood friendly, a kind of a getaway day instead of going to a mall situation and a food court, you know, where you can actually have a relaxing atmosphere.
In addition to restaurants and shop, Burgers points out that Clayton Triangle has galleries, furniture stores, and even upscale grocery store. The Clayton Triangle encompasses the area between Brentwood, Maryland, and Forsyth. Despite the heightened security alert in New York City subway system, no changes are planned for the St. Louis public transit system. Diane Williams, the spokesperson for Metrolink, says there are no needs to raise the terror alert level on Metrolink or Metrobus because the threat was specific to New York. Williams says the local transit system is very safe because of the security measures that are already implemented following 9/11 and after the London subway bombings this summer. And finally this hour, Congressman John Shimkus of Illinois and Todd Akin of Missouri are supporting a measure to increase refinery capacities nationwide in a vote of 212 to 210. The House passed the Gasoline for America Security Act, which imposes a federal ban on price gouging at the pump. The bill also promotes conservation and the development of hydrogen fuel and authorities and authorizes the creation of strategic petroleum reserve expansion funds. This hour's news has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, or even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Riverview at Spring, there's an accident cleared. However, traffic is still easing by. Northbound 55 at Germania and Lafayette, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 at Bowles and Lindbergh, look for that traffic to be flowing freely. Eastbound 70 between Zumbel and 270, everything's running smoothly. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 between Chain of Rocks Bridge and West Florissant, that traffic's running smoothly. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for that traffic to be easing. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, look for no problems to report there. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, however, you can expect heavy volume. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge is slow. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split, look for slow traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit onto Laclede's Landing, you've got slow traffic due to possible signal failure. And northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems to report. Highway Y at Route 21, there's signals are not working there as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Fly to Fort Myers, Naples from St. Louis on one of Southwest Airlines' three new daily flights. Whether you're flying for business or pleasure, Southwest can get you there. Visit southwest.com today. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the upper 60s this evening. Partly cloudy with a low in the lower 50s. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 70. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 50s. And then on Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 52 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 52, both under sunny skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. Her special guest is Juan Williams. That comes up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this be? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this be?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me. Below me.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal citizenship.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black,
white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. I was reading over the weekend. There's so much. There's just so much happening out here. There's so much fallout that's happening all over this country in terms of what's happening to the Republican Party, in terms of, oh, what a difference the possibility of an indictment will make with Karl Rove, Harriet Myers, the fallout from the attacks from the right. It's just a whole lot of stuff, going on. And I was reading a story coming out of Bakersfield, a very, 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 very conservative town in California. Bakersfield, where Bill Bennett, I guess, went to be caught in the loving embrace of his audience. His first public speech since he made the comments that he made. I mean, it's no coincidence that he didn't go to Newark to make his statements. And even in the conservative town of Bakersfield, California, there was controversy over that. And what is interesting about the controversy that is following Bill Bennett, controversy, I would say, of his own making, is the controversy that is happening within the media about this. And I want to go to a place where to a place in the news that I'm not surprised myself to see the positions taken by the commentators on the show Fox News Sunday. But what was interesting and compelling to me were the exchanges and the intensity of the exchanges, and in some respects the personal disdain that was expressed by some of the members of the panel discussion about the comments made by Bill Bennett. And I just want to share Britt Hume's comment when asking about whether or not this is an issue, what Bill Bennett said.
My sense is that it's much ado about not very much. It's not entirely clear to me what exactly the point he was making was that somebody argues is false. Somebody can help me with that. I might be able to comment better. What was false?
False was saying that blacks are responsible for the crime rate.
Well, as a matter of fact, is it not the case that the per capita crime rate among African Americans in this country is higher than other groups? If that's true, then it seems to me that's the point he was making.
Huh? Is that the point that he was making? One of the people that were sitting around that table discussion on Fox News Sunday was Juan Williams. We have Juan Williams joining us from Washington, D.C. this morning. Juan, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Good morning to you.
Brett Hume seemed to be a bit confused about the issue that was problematic in Bill Bennett's statement. What was problematic? What was problematic to you?
Well, as I think you heard when, you know, I responded to Brett, I mean, it seemed to me that given his statistical analysis, which I thought was, you know, sort of cold-eyed about it, then you could start taking out, I said, senior citizens because they put a burden in terms of our Social Security system. You could start taking out, you know, anybody in any group, be they disabled, mentally ill. You could say, well, you know what, let's kill off all the women who have mental illness in their family and their children because clearly that puts a burden on our social safety net in this country. You know, let's start doing away with people who are handicapped. Let's start taking away various ethnic groups. If you want to do away with the Asians because they have too many kids going into higher ed, or they, oh, well, you know what, the Jewish population in this country is so successful in terms of Hollywood or big business or academia. Isn't that unfair? I mean, it seemed to me as if he was going to start taking away segments of the population that just didn't do exactly what he wanted to do.
Well, but wasn't it also, Juan, the fact that he said the killing of every black child would reduce crime? Isn't that a statement that says that every black child, whether you come from the womb of Oprah or you come from the womb of a woman, a black woman in jail, is a criminal? You were a criminal when you were born because you were of African descent. Isn't that what Bill Bennett said?
What Bill Bennett? Yeah, well, no, I think what Bill Bennett said was that statistically, on average, but it certainly would lead to that conclusion, because if you start aborting babies...
But he didn't use the word statistically or on average. He said if you want to reduce the crime, if you abort every black child...
Right,
that,
because of the rate.
But every,
I agree with you,
every
by
black,
the way.
But,
I think
but,
what we're arguing here is semantics. I think that the impact it would have, obviously, if this absurd Republican idea were ever realized, is you would be killing off all babies, no matter if they were geniuses or criminals, because you wouldn't be able to tell. So you just start killing off black babies.
But isn't that the racist component of it? If you say that, because by saying every black child, that is connecting black children to crime by virtue of their color.
I think there's no question about it.
Let's listen to what Bill Kristol said. We're having a little problem here with the
tape. Here we go. Racially bigoted. You know that perfectly well. He's what I worked for with when he was Secretary of Education. Spent an awful lot of time trying to advance policies that we thought would help precisely poorer kids in inner city schools and the like. So it's unfair. It's just wrong to say that he's a racist. Should you do thought experiments, reductio ad absurdum, on talk radio? Probably not. But it's really unfair to say that somehow he's racially bigoted.
Is that a red herring argument?
I think it is. And, you know, several people have said to me after they watched that panel discussion that there was as if we were talking past each other, because nobody was talking about whether Bill Bennett was racist. And, in fact, my friend Brett Hume comes back and says at one point in the discussion that, you know, it's so easy to throw around charges of somebody being racist. My feeling is we're talking about here an idea. An idea that is truly horrific, an idea that's of a measure like something Hitler would have come up with, like the Nazis, starting to eradicate a race of people because you have some grievance with them, imagined or real, and as you pointed out earlier, Liz, you would be indicting an entire group of people on the basis of misbehavior by some of those people. It's just a terrible idea. So the whole idea of, is this about Bill Bennett? No. Is this about whether Bill Bennett is a racist? No. Is it about an idea thrown out in the middle of a talk show in a casual way in response to a question that had nothing to do with race, nothing to do with crime, I think is an idea that could get into the body politic and lead to the most terrible consequences. And I think that's where it's a bad idea, and that's what I was trying to speak to. And I think heart of hearts, that's what you're speaking to, Liz. It's an idea that is a criminal idea.
But it's also a racist idea. I mean, a person doesn't have to wear a robe to engage a hood to engage in to make a racist comment. I think that in order to define whether an individual is in fact a racist or not, you look at a lot of different things that they engage in their behavior. But you certainly can. People are capable of making racist statements.
Without a doubt.
And in terms of the response that you got from people, what kind of responses? Were they mostly negative? Were they mostly positive? How did people respond to it?
To me personally?
Yes, after that exchange.
Are you talking about in public or on the panel?
In public. I mean, in public.
People have been so kind because people have been saying to me since that occurred, one, thank God you're there. But secondly, they're saying, you know, you're making points, and it's as if people aren't hearing. It's unbelievable what's going on. So I have been deluged with not only emails and phone calls, but just people stopping me, you know, in the course of my life and saying, man, I couldn't believe what happened on the TV that day.
And in terms of Brett Hume, you referred to him earlier in the show as your friend. Do you really think so? I mean, do you really think so? Given the disdain, particularly at the end when the question was asked, do you think that Bill Bennett should apologize? And Bill and Brett Hume was saying, for what? As a person of African descent, as watching Brett Hume sit there and defend or to say, black people commit crimes, I don't know what the problem is of his statement. I am personally offended by that, and I don't like this person because of the what he is saying about every child that I would give birth to, and in defense of that.
Well, I don't think there's any question about what you're saying. I mean, that's why I took offense. That's why you're taking offense. But I think it's about more than taking offense. I think, as I said earlier, it's about a really awful idea. And I can't say it in any more. I mean, I can't convey the degree of emotion I feel about this. I mean, I think it's the kind of idea that would lead the society, you know, down a really perilous path. I think it's reminiscent of what we've seen taking place in Nazis and among imperialists and, you know, the Cambodians and you know, wiping out groups of people. So I just think it's an idea that needs to be spoken against. With regard to what you talked about, whether Britt's my friend or not, Britt has been a friend to me throughout my career. I mean, I've known him before we worked together when he was at the White House for ABC and I was at the White House for the Washington Post. And
why doesn't he get this? I'm certain that you've had conversations with him off the air about this. How is it that he doesn't admit this or acknowledge this or get this?
I think Britt makes an argument that he feels comes from a conservative position, you know, a strong anti-crime. You know, look, if you watch that show, you know Britt and I go at it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's coming from what he considers to be a true right conservative position. I think on this case, that is not a true right conservative position. And that's why I was heartened to hear when you said at the start of the show that when Bill Bennett went out to a conservative enclave in Bakersfield, California, he's still caught hell. And he's been canceling speeches in order to avoid catching hell in other places. So I was really glad to hear that people, no matter whether they say they're left or right, know what is morally right and will speak up and speak against this idea.
Let me get to a caller here. Caller, you're on the air with Juan Williams.
Ms. Brown, I want to thank you for not letting this go. Mr. Williams, it's an honor and pleasure to talk to you. I saw that program, Mr. Williams, that Sunday, and I was totally disturbed what came out of Brett Hume and Bill Kristol's mouth. The lady, I couldn't remember her name. I think she was on your side. But let me tell you this, Mr. Williams. Let me say this. He didn't say a white baby, Jew baby, Chinese baby. When you get through, he's a racist. Now, whether you want to come to those facts or not, but I want you to explain to Ms. Brown. I told Ms. Brown about what happened, and she got right on this. I told Ms. Brown they need to put that on his headstone and so people can see what he said after he's gone, because it was horrible. Let me make this clear, too, Mr. Williams. Let Ms. Brown know, and your listening audience know, why didn't Condoleezza Rice say anything, and why there will be more, they can't get more blacks in the great GOP party. Mr. Williams, you have a beautiful day, and we need more Juan Williams. Thank you.
And let's speak to that, because the White House issued a statement saying that these were unfortunate remarks. That's hardly begins to... Is that appropriate? Is that enough? And where has Condoleezza Rice or even Colin Powell been on these comments?
Well, I think everybody's, you know, for my money, I think Colin Powell, you know, who has, you know, such stature in all America, should speak out on this kind of thing. And I guess Condoleezza Rice, she's a member of the administration. She feels the president has spoken and said it was inappropriate. But it would have been last week, the president had a news conference, and he was asked about, you know, racial issues in general in the aftermath of Katrina and what took place in New Orleans. And, you know, he went right by the Bill Bennett part, and I wish he had spoken to it because, you know, just like the caller said, this idea is beyond belief in terms of horror. And
but doesn't it speak to, I mean, there have been criticism from the community of African descent, constant criticism of Colin Powell, or constant criticism of Condoleezza Rice, for their, when people assess them, and the reason why they're in this administration, when black folks look at them, they say that you are a black person that is there for the sole purpose of pushing forward a conservative agenda as opposed to a person of African descent that has the courage to speak out on race issues regardless of what your political positions are. And for Condoleezza Rice and for Colin Powell not to make a comment about this because of their concern about politics, doesn't that say something about them?
Well, no, in terms of Condoleezza Rice, I mean, she's a member of an administration. She's an African-American, but she is a Bush administration official. So, you know, she's conservative. I think she's an extraordinary woman. But, you know, I understand that she's a team player in this situation. Powell right now is outside the administration. I think he's free to say what he wants to say. Last week, he came out here in Washington in opposition to the administration's position about, you know, treatment, or I should say maltreatment of detainees. So he speaks out when he wants to speak out. I think this would have been an appropriate time to speak out. The caller, by the way, Liz, I think the caller is right on the money. When Bill Bennett spoke, he didn't think about Asian-American children. He didn't start speaking about Jewish children. What came to his mind was black children. And I just want to repeat something that, you know, Chris Wallace, who's the host of the show, said last Sunday. He said, this started in a conversation about Social Security. There was no discussion about race or crime. Social Security, and then for some reason, what comes out of Bill Bennett's mouth is about aborting black kids, not aborting any other race of children, any other group of people, any other religion, black. I mean, I think that's very revealing, very upsetting.
And I have to go back to Condoleezza Rice because I cannot accept that it is just that she wants to be a team player. Doesn't this get to the reason why? Isn't this another reason why people of African descent do not connect with or are not interested in connecting with the Republican Party or conservative mindset when someone like a Condoleezza Rice, while she has this option as an American, chose to be a team player as opposed to speaking out against an issue that talked about her mother, that's talking about her, and also a statement that contributes to this understanding of this racist understanding of black people. Isn't that another reason why black folks don't want to be with the Republican Party? Because apparently people will put their party loyalty against a personal attack on their mama.
Well, I say this. There are a lot of black conservatives in this town, Washington, D.C., and believe me, the black conservatives have been up in arms and complaining about what Bill Bennett said and saying just what you're saying, that this is exactly what makes black people suspicious about the Republican Party. Ken Mellman, the Republican Party chairman here in Washington, also put out a statement, but he said the Democrats were piling on because you had people like Howard Dean, the chairman of the Democratic Party, members of the Black Caucus, you know, saying, you know, this is the reason you can't be a Republican. So Mellman felt that they were using it for political ends. But my feeling is that in this situation, what you needed was a united front, Republican and Democrat, saying this is wrong. And I think because this is such a political time, everything is so polarized, and the Republican Party had been trying to reach out to black people. They're reluctant, therefore, to say, hey, you know, Bill Bennett is totally, but you know what, they needed to do it, they needed to say it, and they didn't say it in a way, and they, maybe they said it, I don't want to be unfair, they said it, but they didn't say it loud enough, they didn't say it with enough.
When has a Republican had an opportunity to say something loud enough? You know, I mean, there are so many places for Republicans, you know, particularly black Republicans, to go. I mean, I'm looking at an article right now by Larry Elder that's calling it the lynching of Bill Bennett.
Oh, my God.
The lynching of Bill Bennett is what he is saying.
So ridiculous. What's the point of making a statement like that?
But my point is that black Republicans out here are the lynching of Bill Bennett, and white Republicans out here that are opposed to it, or black Republicans that are opposed to it, there are a million and one different venues for them to go to. If they can get on the air about Terri Schiavo, they can get on the air about Bill Bennett, and they're not. And again, that goes back to additional evidence of why black folks will not associate themselves with a party that won't come out on an easy issue.
Well, this is an easy issue, and I think when you see columns like that one, it's evidence of people just playing along as if they're, you know, they're putting, in my mind, they're putting politics over morality
and that's,
in that situation.
And the argument is that's the cost of being a black Republican.
No, well, I would never make that argument. I'm not a black Republican, but I'm saying there are so many black Republicans who are people of integrity and people of good faith. And I think that Larry Elder is not serving that population well because he invites just the kind of criticism you're making.
We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. I'm talking to Juan Williams of Fox News Sunday. We're talking about Bill Bennett. I see your calls. I'll get to y'all at 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. You can always get my show archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. And I'm iPod-a-da-da-da-da. This is Liz Brown. Stay with us. We'll be back.
I want you to know that I'm here for you. Oh, that was true.
Good morning, St. Louis. 34 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Northbound 55 between Rivers Barracks and 44, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way into Big Bend, look for no problems there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan to Blanchett is running smoothly. Northbound 270 at 44 has returned back to normal. Eastbound 40 between McKnight and Hanley, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, you have very heavy volume going on there as well. Westbound 5570 to Poplar Street Bridge is returned back to normal. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit to Laclede's Landing is rolling along fine. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is running smoothly. Route 21 at Highway Y, those signals are not working properly. Union at Wabeda, look for an injury accident. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust your local Toyota dealer that know your vehicle best for convenient service and competitive prices. Oil changes, tires, batteries, and brakes, they do it all. That's moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies today, high in the upper 60s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 50s. For Tuesday, partly sunny with a high around 70. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers with a high only around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 55 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 56, both under sunny skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle, Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics, to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
Coming up on October 17th, it's a special two-hour edition of Mondays at 9. We should call it Mondays at 8. Our special guest is Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President. Dr. Frank is a professor of psychiatry at George Washington Medical School. His publication takes a look at the actions of President Bush over the last several years. Dr. Frank says the inconsistencies and denials he exhibits are troubling. His tendency to avoid taking responsibility is a pattern that has gone on long before he became president, and this leads to concerns about the safety of all people whose lives he touches. This interview will be full of revelations that will seem outrageous, but when you put all the pieces together, the picture becomes clear. In addition, we'll have several copies of the book to give away to the listening audience during the interview. So don't miss this special edition of Mondays at 9, starting at 8 on Monday, October 17th, with Dr. Justin Frank and Bush on the Couch, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My long distance toll free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget, we are archived daily at thewhiterosesociety.org. And also, you can iPod us there as well. I'm talking this morning to Juan Williams of Fox News Sunday. We're talking about the Bill Bennett statements. Juan, apparently Bill Bennett is losing gigs, too. I mean, he stepped down as the chair of an organization, the K-12 organization.
I don't know about I know there's one organization he runs here in Washington that tries to help young women avoid pregnancy.
This is an educational group. He was the chairman, a member of the board of the K-12 entity, and he stepped down. And the organization said it had nothing to do with what he said, and Bill Bennett said that it had nothing to do with that. But he's just going to try to make things easier for people. So apparently, it's having some impact across the country.
Oh, I don't have any doubt about it. I think that's why we're having this conversation, Liz.
Let me get to some of the callers here. Ron, you have a question for Juan Williams. Ron. William, you have a question for Juan Williams.
Oh, yes. Liz, how you doing?
I'm outside. Are you on a speakerphone?
Pardon me?
William, are you on a speakerphone?
Yes, I am, but it's not on.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Juan. I saw the episode, that exchange. And Liz, it brought back to mind what I stated. I don't blame Bennett, because you have to realize Bennett is a person who worked with the another administration to come up with the war on drugs, which turned out to be the war on black people. So I don't blame Bennett, but I do, and that's why I said that, because look what happened to Juan the very next Sunday following that statement. That's the kind of stuff I do blame. People who are supposed to know better and come out and then turn around and attack people like Juan. over something that they should themselves know. White people commit more crime, not per capita, but more crime in this country, period. White collar, blue collar, whatever you call it. And then they come out and do stuff like that. That's what I want to say. Now, Juan, can you please don't speak on the per capita, but can you speak out on who commits more crime in this country and why aren't people up in an uproar and saying we have to stop it, especially the kind of crimes that happen in New Orleans over the weekend?
Thanks for your call.
Well, there's no doubt about it. If you look at just in terms of absolute numbers, who commits crime in America is white. And especially if you start talking, I mean, that's one thing you could say, let's kill off, and the absurdity of the statistical argument that was being embraced by so many. Wait a minute. If you wanted to kill off people who commit corporate crime, I guess you then have to start killing off white babies. I mean, it's just awful, silly, and I don't know. I think that idea is awful. Anyway, what you do have, if you wanted to break it down, is an argument that goes, well, as Britt Hume said, you have a disparity, a disproportionate amount of crime committed by African Americans in America.
Well, isn't it the argument that you have that black people are arrested, pursued, and charged with crimes in a disproportionate way?
That's
where you're going to have that's what the issue is. I mean, the bottom line is that the choice of who to arrest is a totally discretionary one. The choice of who to pursue is totally discretionary.
I don't think there's any doubt.
So when we're talking
doubt as to there being a different standard from the time that we African Americans are in school throughout our entire life with regard to our treatment by law enforcement.
So in order to draw any
but kind I wanted to make this point to you is that there's just someone else who saw this exchange sent me data on this point, and the data shows that if you control for everything, beginning with education, class, earnings, all that, there is no perceptible difference. The difference, obviously, is that when it comes to black America, we have a larger percentage of poverty and children in poverty in specific, and it's going to cause that problem. Does that lead you then to say we need to do away with black people? How crazy an idea is that?
But it is one of those times again, Juan, that people don't want to talk about, or that there is a resistance within Fox News Network. There's a resistance within Republicans, resistance within white Democrats, resistance to talk about how race truly impacts the decisions that are made in this country. If we're going to have an honest discussion about race and crime, black folks and white folks, then we need to talk about the decisions that go into making the determination of who gets arrested.
Well, I think that that's part of this discussion. I think once you open this can of worms, you start talking about crime, then you're going to have to start talking about, the inequities in terms of sentencing, going back to the whole business about crack cocaine, powder cocaine. You can go back even farther in terms of exactly why the death penalty was disallowed in this country for so long. Is because of the, unequal application of the death penalty to black people
today.
Who had committed the same crime as white people.
And the fact that in the death penalty that race determines whether or not a person is going to be charged, and that's the race of the victim. If it's a white person, then that person is going to be pursued. I mean, that's what the statistics show. Let me get to some of these other callers out here. Yes. You're on the air with Juan Williams. Kareem.
Yes.
Yes, you have a question for Juan Williams.
Well, I just wanted to, either one of you can respond to it, but I just wanted to make a statement. You was wondering why a lot of black people want to be Republicans or identify with the Republican Party.
I'm saying it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I identify with the Republican Party, and it's basically for historical reasons. Because once I did some studying history, which we all say we should do, I found out the Republican Party was started. One of the main reasons was to free us from slavery. And they gave us the 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, and the 15th Amendment. They overturned the Brown versus the Board of Education at Topeka that they're separate but equal. The Democratic Party was the one that fought a whole war to keep us in slavery. They gave us the poll tax. They gave us the literacy test. They gave us the grandfather clause.
They gave us the Ku Klux Klan.
The Democrats did.
Yes, they did.
So there were no Republicans that supported the Klan.
No, when they first started to come out, it was a Democratic ex-Confederates that started it, and then it was Grant that destroyed them in 1871.
Can you explain to me then in the year 2005 when there was an opportunity to speak to some of the things that you hold the Republicans, or you give Republicans credit for, could you explain to me when there was an opportunity to take a vote on, to denounce the fact that this country, to apologize, the fact that this country had never passed, Republican or Democrat, had never passed an anti-lynching bill, that the majority, the overwhelming majority of Republicans, of people that said no to that or were silent to that or were opposed to that were all Republicans. Can you explain to me, given the history that you've described of a Republican Party, can you explain that to me?
Well, I can't speak for those individuals.
Well, no, they're the Republican Party. They're the Republican Party. This is the Republican Party line. The Republican Party had an opportunity, particularly since it controls the House, the Senate, and the United States presidency. The Republican Party had an opportunity, much like it did with Terry Schiavo, much like it has done with gun control, much like it has done with on issues that matter to them. The Republican Party had an opportunity to take a non-binding just statement that, man, we should have had an anti-lynching bill that killed all those black people. Republicans said nothing and voted against, or didn't vote against it, didn't vote at all, and said nothing about it. How do you describe, how do you define
Okay, well, first of all the Republicans didn't do it.
Yes, they did, when they didn't come out with a statement on it. Yes, they did.
I think it was about 10 or something like that.
No, it was more than 10 of them.
Okay.
And every Republican, almost every Republican for the South, and again, the president had an opportunity to say something about it, so did the Speaker of the House, so did the head of the Senate, and none of them had a statement about that.
All right, let me say this, because what you was asked, what I think was about apology.
Yes.
Because it was the Republicans who had been pushing the anti-lynching legislation back in the 20s when the Democrats
turned
it down.
Baby, we don't live in the 20s anymore. We live in the 2005.
I know,
aren't you holding them accountable for a standard that you've created in the past? Clearly, they stepped away from in the year 2005.
You're talking about apology. You're not talking about...
An apology.
There's a difference between apology and saying that there's no more lynch. There's no more lynching in the first place.
Okay, so you don't think that it was important that they did that. Okay,
well,
thanks for your call. We got to take a break here. I'm sorry, Juan. We're talking about Bill Bennett, and Juan Williams of Fox News Sunday is with us. Our number here is 1-877-920-9468. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us, Juan.
Yes,
okay.
I'll be right with
you. Okay, very good.
Batman in front of me, he's calling black people trash to his children, and he's the only trash here I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white hood in the night when his children should sleep. But they'll slip to their windows and they'll see. They'll think that white hood's all they need. It's a hard life, it's a hard life.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. Former Defense Intelligence Agency analyst Larry Franklin has taken a plea arrangement in connection with a charge of spying. Reports indicated he admitted to the U.S. Attorney's Office that he passed classified information to a political officer at the Israeli embassy in Washington, who was also acting as the Mossad station chief in the nation's capital. Prosecutor Paul McNulty has also charged two former officials of the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee with illegally receiving classified information from Franklin. Further indictments may be forthcoming, as Franklin has agreed to help the government with more prosecution as part of his plea arrangement. Franklin also mentioned Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld's name in the investigation, saying he kept a number of classified documents at his home in West Virginia in order to provide direct answers to questions from higher-ups in the Pentagon, including Rumsfeld. Israel has denied it ever spied on the U.S., as it considers America a close ally. And Dateline Washington. Republican leaders in the House held a closed-door meeting last Thursday and agreed to raise the cuts to federal entitlement programs from $35 billion to at least $50 billion. tens of millions will be slashed from most programs that benefit the poor, including Medicaid. The chair of the Budget Committee says he's going to call for across-the-board cuts of up to 2%, even to Homeland Security and defense programs, which have not been chopped by the budget acts before. The federal budget deficit for the year ending September 30th shows that it's about $100 billion less than last year and $14 billion less than what was projected just 2 months ago. A coalition of over 700 social welfare groups and activists have circulated a petition on Capitol Hill seeking a moratorium on any budget and tax cuts for this session. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk-to-dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
For the million. For the millions of Africans chained to the slave ships. For the millions of...
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Juan Williams of Fox News. We're talking about, of course, Bill Bennett's comment. Juan, let's get to some of these callers. Let me get to a call here from San Francisco. David, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Liz. Great show.
Thank you.
And morning, Juan.
Good morning.
Being a part of the media as you are, I wanted to ask you what it's you know, obviously you're being asked to stifle certain stories, and I wonder if you've got any ability to talk about you know, what it takes, whether you have to be clever in certain phrasing to be able to even bring up part of a story, you know, if you've considered going into alternative media, if you file stories anonymously, you know, if you could talk about things from that angle.
Okay.
And then the other thing I wanted to raise, you had the previous caller there and talking about the Republican Party and their history. Clearly, the Republican Party is using bait and switch. They're essentially going on a 100-year-old reputation, and it's pretty clear, even in the very beginning, the Republican Party were made up of the old Whigs, who were very... they were the aristocracy party of the old days. They were the rich man's party, and they had gotten so corrupted that no one was voting for the Whigs anymore, so they just changed their name. And they cashed in on the early abolitionist movement. They took it only so far, and then after Lincoln was able to use the Emancipation Proclamation, they essentially doubled back and closed ranks again to support the rich. So
I got to let that be the last thought because I only have 5 minutes here.
All right,
thank you very much. Juan, can you address the question that he asked, the first question?
Sure. I mean, no, I say what I want to say. I mean, I think that's a blessing for me. There's no need for any kind of anonymity or anonymous things. I say what I want to say. In fact, my sense is, you know, even as we deal with the whole idea that Fox is more conservative or something like that. No, I mean, they invite me there. They want me there, I think, to stir the pot because I say what's on my mind. The whole idea that people wouldn't say what they truly think, I think, is, in my mind, crazy. I mean, Liz, you say what you think. I say what I think. And I think that's what, you know, is so great about American media is that it's a vital, vibrant tableau of different ideas and spectrum of ideas.
But surely you believe that there are certain voices that, for instance, a voice like mine is not as a voice saying I living my life as an African is not as sellable or pursued as a voice that says George Bush is the greatest president that has ever lived.
I don't know that that's the way I would put it. I mean, Rush Limbaugh, for instance, has a much bigger audience than Liz does. Why is that? I think that there's a bigger audience for the conservative message in the country, and Limbaugh is, you know, carrying that message. I mean, conservative talk radio dominates. Liberal talk radio does not.
I'm going to take another caller here. Peter.
You know, I was going to ask Juan, surely we're not surprised at the things that we hear Bennett say. I think we have a technology nowadays so we can gifts can be spread out amongst more people across the country, because you can look throughout the history of this country, you know, the history of the world even, looking back at David Hume, the things he said back in the 1750s all the way up into the 1970s with someone as notable as a Nobel Peace Prize winner, Professor W. Shockley at Stanford University, and he mentioned, let's give blacks cash incentives not to breathe. I'm surprised that so many African Americans, black people, don't know the history of this country with people coming out in the position that William Bennett is. And I think that that position, that ideology, runs strong and deep within the United States, but it has been a historical thing.
Thanks for your call, Peter. We only have three more minutes here. And Juan, do you think that Bill Bennett, do you think that Bill Bennett is going to retract or going to go back on anything that he has said? Do you think that the atmosphere that we live in right now will allow him to continue to take the position that he didn't do anything wrong?
No, I mean, you've said it earlier in the show. He was getting flack even out in Bakersfield in a conservative community. You said he's had to cancel. He's had speeches that he's dropped off the boards of organizations. So I think we can see that there are repercussions to the, you know, people who are outraged at his statement, and it damages anything that he's associated with. So my thinking is, though, that he is taking at the moment a very defensive posture where he says, oh, I said it was an immoral idea, and then, he doesn't mention it. He also said, of course it would work. So,
of course it would absolutely work if you killed all black babies.
Yeah, that's what he said. So to my mind, he's in a state of denial. He's not even coming to terms with the horrific nature of what he said.
Car phone, Bob.
Hi, Juan. I like to hear your heard you on NPR, and I think you help keep Fox fair and balanced. I do want to say that I was just listening to the show, and I heard Liz say that George Bush was the greatest president ever, and before that, I heard a discussion, a caller called and asked you if whites don't commit more crime. You said, yes, they do. So, you know, you said, well, we could abort all white babies and we'd have less crime. And you said, of course, that's ridiculous and we wouldn't do it, which is exactly what William Bennett said. You just made the same exact hypothetical that he did, refuted it. There's no difference what you just said and what he said.
There's a huge difference. Bill, what he said was in response to this idea that Bill Bennett put forward, that I was trying to display or demonstrate the absurdity of the idea, how awful and repugnant it is, and that if you wanted to extend what Bill Bennett said, you could go into every kind of avenue of talking about doing away with people who have a history of mental illness in their family, people who are born with disabilities.
That would be prejudice. That would be prejudice or racist.
I'm responding to the Bennett idea and trying to demonstrate how awful it is. That's what I was doing, caller.
And that's what you were saying about, if you said that about white people, if you said that about women, if you said that
anybody,
any class of people, it would be inappropriate based upon the fact that you'd use that class of people.
Right.
And Juan Williams, we only have 30 seconds here. I want to thank you very much for joining us on the wake-up call.
Liz, it's always good to wake up with you. It's a pleasure.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I will be back after the news. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Send money, the plea from the president of Pakistan in the wake of a killer earthquake.
We have tremendous amount of manpower. What we do need is financial support.
The U.S. has pledged up to $50 million in aid. Up to 30,000 people are feared dead in the earthquake that pummeled parts of Pakistan, India, and Afghanistan.
We have a potential vulnerable population of 4 million in the region, and they're going to need emergency housing, emergency health, emergency food, emergency water. So we need more money. We need more logistics support.
Andrew McLeod is a UN relief coordinator in Islamabad. ABC's David Wright is there with more.
It's still difficult to measure the exact impact of this disaster, except to say that it is huge and growing by the day. People continue to pour into towns that have been almost flattened by this earthquake. bringing injured people and also bringing dead bodies. The number of people rendered homeless grows by the day, as does the estimate of the number of dead.
ABC's David Wright. A British team pulled a 20-year-old man from the rubble more than 2 days after the earthquake hit. He said he wasn't hungry but begged for water. Guatemalan officials are giving up on finding anyone else after last week's mudslides, abandoning some towns as mass graveyards. Hundreds died, hundreds more are missing. Keene, New Hampshire got the worst of weekend rains that triggered floods from North Carolina to New England, blamed for at least 4 deaths. Cleanups underway in flood-prone Wayne, New Jersey.
You know what? We live here. We accept it. We learn to live with it. You learn how to handle it. You learn how to cope with it. It's just not fun.
And this may validate some parents, anger others. The advice from the American Academy of Pediatrics on reducing the risk of SIDS. Babies should be given pacifiers at bedtime, and they should sleep in their parents' room, but not in their bed. The idea is to keep babies from sleeping too deeply. This is ABC News.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Travelocity presents The Roaming Gnome, denouncer of travel myths. First myth, if you fly for the holidays, you can't afford a trip next year.
Pish! With Travelocity, you'll get a great holiday fare plus up to $100 off your next vacation.
Myth 2, most people put off holiday shopping till the last minute.
Not me. I finished my shopping in 1975. Hope you like pet rocks.
Book a holiday flight with your MasterCard card and get up to $100 off next year's vacation. Restrictions apply. Travelocity.com/holiday for details. Travelocity. You'll never roam alone.
President Bush heads back to the hurricane zone today.
Housing is the critical need now, long-term housing as shelters shut down. President Bush will start in New Orleans tonight, even dining out in the historic city with local officials. Then tomorrow, donning a hard hat, President Bush will help Habitat for Humanity building homes in Mississippi for hurricane victims. And come to ABC News, the White House.
More of us may be sick of work. A new survey finds 43% call in sick when they really aren't. The year before, about 35% admitted they lied to get a day off. Bosses are catching on. 23% say they fired someone for missing work without a good reason. There are some pretty creative excuses among them. The ghosts in my house kept me up all night. I'm too fat to get into my work pants. And I'm too drunk to drive to work. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. In the news in your 9 o'clock hours, local St. Louis officials, school officials, are reacting to the new Missouri high school graduation requirements. Beginning with the class of 2010, all students who need to have at least 24 credits to graduate instead of the current 22 credits. Luther North High School curriculum coordinator Carl Holschen says he thinks public schools might have to adjust their curriculums more than private schools to meet the requirement, but he does not believe it will be too hard.
Many of the public schools have followed the regulations for the state of Missouri, which has required fewer than 27, and I'm sure that most of the public schools will have any trouble in meeting the current requirements either.
Lutheran High School students are currently required to have 27 credits to graduate. The new requirements will impact areas courses in social studies, math, science, and English. Students must also have half-unit courses in personal finance and health education. A suspect is being sought after a St. Francis County couple was shot over the weekend. The St. Francis County Sheriff's Department says 19-year-old Nicholas Tamir broke into the couple's home in Franklin yesterday morning and shot them. The couple reportedly accused Tom Air of attempted burglary in their home prior to yesterday's incident. The victims are in serious but stable condition. Anyone with information in Tom Air's whereabouts are urged to call St. Francis County Sheriff's Department at 573-431-3131. A North County man is facing jail time in a fatal drunk driving accident. Jeffrey Johnson of Florissant pled guilty on Friday to involuntary manslaughter and assault with an accident that killed Damon Cobb last year. Cobb's two children were also injured in a crash along Old Halls Ferry Road and affirmed. Johnson is scheduled to be sentenced in December. Two armed robbery suspects are facing charges following a high-speed police chase that led police through several St. Louis area communities. Police say the pursuit began Saturday evening after Terrell Henderson and Cortez Meek held up two women at gunpoint in the parking lot of Johann's Fabrics along Zumbel in St. Charles. Authorities say the chase ended 35 minutes later in Eureka after the police used stop sticks to disable the suspect's car. Henderson and Meek are being held on $50,000 bond. And finally, this hour, government offices and most banks will be closed today in observance with Columbus Day. Many St. Louis area attractions such as the Gateway Arch, the St. Louis Museum, and St. Louis Zoo and the Missouri Botanical Garden are also closed. Most schools on both sides of the river will be open today. This hour's news has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Toyota owners trust your local Toyota dealers that know your vehicle best for convenient services and competitive prices. Oil changes, tires, batteries, and brakes, they do it all. That's moving you forward. 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. Now let's take a look at your WGNU traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by National City Bank. Southbound 170 at 40, there's an accident on the right shoulder. Expect a brief slowdown. Southbound Illinois Route 3 at 8th Street. Look for an accident there. Northbound 55 between 270 and 44, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 between Six Flags over Mid-America, all the way into Merrimack River Bridge. Look for no problems reported there. Northbound 270 at 44, everything's running smoothly. Westbound 270 at Lilac and 170, look for no problems there. Westbound 40 at Hanley, that traffic has returned back to normal. And your bridges look like this. Westbound 5570 split at the PSB is running smoothly. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Cleeds Landing looks good. Route 21 and Highway Y, those traffic signals have been repaired. North Florissant Road at 70, look for an injury accident there. Clayton Road at Skinker, those traffic lights are not working. A natural bridge at 170, look for an injury accident as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by National City Bank. National City Bank makes managing your finances easy by giving you free checking with unlimited transactions, extensive retirement planning, and more. National City Banking made simpler for lives that are not. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Today, partly cloudy skies, high in the upper 60s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 50s. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 70. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy skies in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 50s. Then on Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies, a 30% chance of showers with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 56 degrees under sunny skies. Lambert Field is reporting 55 and sunny skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Baby steps. Baby steps. Right. Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on, I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I suck a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Visit stlouisblues.com for special discounts and promotional information. Tickets on sale at the box office, Ticketmaster outlet, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
Coming up on October 17th, it's a special two-hour edition of Mondays at 9. We should call it Mondays at 8. Our special guest is Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President. Dr. Frank is a professor of psychiatry at George Washington Medical School. His publication takes a look at the actions of President Bush over the last several years. Dr. Frank says the inconsistencies and denials he exhibits are troubling. His tendency to avoid taking responsibility is a pattern that has gone on long before he became president, and this leads to concerns about the safety of all people whose lives he touches. This interview will be full of revelations that will seem outrageous, but when you put all the pieces together, the picture becomes clear. In addition, we'll have several copies of the book to give away to the listening audience during the interview. So don't miss this special edition of Mondays at 9, starting at 8, on Monday, October 17th, with Dr. Justin Frank and Bush on the Couch, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement,
call 361-9191
or toll free 866-361-9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Kevin, good morning.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Well, I'm still disappointed in Juan.
Okay.
I'm totally disappointed. I still don't think he knows, he understands, or cares. So, you know, I don't, because that whole argument about it, when the all that argument about the poverty and the drugs, and why there's a statistical amount of Black Americans committing more crimes, has nothing to do with that. It has to do with who they pursue. Any Black person that lives in any depressed neighborhood will see white boys come into those neighborhoods, drive by their drugs, and drive off, and the police let them go.
Or you don't have to go to an urban Black area to see that. You can go,
on Long Road in Wildwood and see it. You can go.
I mean, there was a crack house in Wildwood.
In Wildwood.
Okay. You know. A meth house. I'm sorry. And I'm sure the drug. I mean, the fact of the matter is that it is not that people of African descent commit. How could it be? If you are 12 or 15% of the population?
And it's a $1 trillion industry.
And it's a $1 trillion.
We don't have $1 trillion. You know, why couldn't he say something like that? Why couldn't he be Liz or Michael Eric Dyson? That the reason you don't get to go on Fox News, because you would stick it in their face. Where they couldn't argue it, they put him there because he's a lap dog. Have a good day.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Sam. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454. I guess Sam didn't want it stuck in his face, I guess. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And, there are a lot of people that are having difficulties with what's going on here in the United States. Oh, if we get Sam back? Let's try it again. Sam. Ike.
Yeah, how you doing, Liz?
Good morning.
I didn't want to talk to Juan after a few minutes listening to him. I think he's protecting his little debut on the TV. He's holding back. He's not really was clear and honest to me. And that's why I didn't call in. And everything that you asked him, he kind of backpedaled. And from the years I've been on TV, I wasn't too impressed with him.
I mean, I believe very strongly that there is a difference in saying that a statement is racist, and a difference in saying that it's about Black people. And I think that there are different ways of saying things, and there are different reasons for not saying things. You know.
You know, I watched this guy for years, and I said, because sometimes he got and was very mum on some show way before this area come in, was serious about different things. He'd be backpedaling there. Juan, don't worry about it. You'll have your little place on the TV on Sundays. And that's all he's protecting, for as I'm concerned.
Thanks.
Because he really could have stayed at home, for as I'm concerned.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Ron.
I totally agree with the previous callers. I've been watching Brett Hume, dog Juan Williams, out on episodes on different issues, but Miss Liz, you gotta bring me up to speed on the statement that this man, former FBI William Bennett, said. I need to know exactly what. And I thank you, Miss Brown.
Okay, you need the exact transcript of it.
Yes,
okay.
I mean not the transcript.
Well, sure
I don't. What did this man say?
What he said was that if you wanted to reduce the crime rate, if that's solely what you wanted to do, you could abort every Black baby, and that would reduce the crime rate. It would be a morally reprehensible thing to do, and blah, 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 blah. It would be bad, blah, 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 blah. All of that, it would be bad, it would be wrong, it would be an indefensible argument to make to do that. And the issue here is not the part about it being morally reprehensible, the fact that he said, if you want to reduce crime, the crime rate,
yeah,
abort every Black baby. And you could do that.
And he said this past week.
No, he said this two or 3 weeks ago.
I mean, that is totally ridiculous.
It is outrageous.
Yes,
and
it's
not ridiculous. It's not outrageous. It is racist,
yes,
pure
it
and
is.
Simple. Because, and if I could just say this one time, Bill Bennett has more experience and has had more exposure to and knows by name more white criminals than you and I will ever know. And yet he didn't come out of his mouth and say, if you wanted to reduce the crime rate, and that's the only thing that you wanted to do, you could abort every white baby, and you could do that. It would be morally reprehensible, blah, 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 blah. Even though his life experience shows that he knows more white people, white criminals by name than any other type of criminal he didn't say why. He went straight to black folks.
And
that's racist.
Yes, it is. And Ms. Brown, it also goes to show, if black people don't stick together.
Well, Condoleezza Rice didn't say anything.
No. I don't expect her to say it. Not,
oh, I
not
do. Well, here's the thing. Expect is one thing. Demand is another. Right. I demand that she does say something. I don't expect that she will, but I demand that she does.
You're absolutely right, Ms. Brown. And, you know, all this that's going on down in New Orleans and all these Supreme Court nominees, black folks need to wake up and say good morning to each other.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ms.
Thanks
Brown.
For your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Dimitri.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I'd like to comment about your opening monologue.
Okay.
Which
hour?
The 6 o'clock hour.
Okay.
And what it did was remind me of a two lines from Shakespeare, if I may. Shakespeare said, and I quote, "What a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive."
Mm.
And I think that sums up the kind of confusion that's going on.
You know what? That is an absolute great, absolutely great analogy, because that is what is going on in this administration. It's hard to do it now. And you know what? I think that one of the reasons why folks shouldn't lie, because most people don't have that great of a memory.
Yeah.
You have to have a great
memory. You have to have an excellent memory to lie.
Yeah, you do. To lie successfully, you have to have a great memory.
And you have to have, and they have to have collective memory.
Yeah.
Everybody must
yeah.
be on the same track,
yeah.
the same page.
Yeah, yep, yep, yep.
And then I have a question for you as an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
It looks as if the government is trying to head towards, or making sounds like they're heading towards, imposing martial law.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is, martial law does supersede civil law, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And could this be a vehicle? I'm just thinking ahead.
Let me answer your question before you even get it out. Yes, but go ahead.
Okay.
Could this be a vehicle for what?
Could this be a vehicle for the president to use to extend his office, term in office beside his elective term?
There are folks out there that are saying that this would be just another way to, if we impose martial law, the argument by some has been that would extend to the constitutional requirement of an 8-year term. So, yeah, I mean, there are those that are making that argument.
Oh, is there in the Constitution an 8-year term for under martial law?
No, not under martial law. I'm just saying that if you impose martial law, that gives you the opportunity to do away with other kinds of laws that are put forth by the Constitution.
Yeah, and then just one final comment, Liz, because I listen to you regularly. How do you keep from screaming when you're talking? I mean, you got me screaming here when I hear you, especially this Williams person. I mean, it was so obvious to me. I'm a white person, but he headed for the intellectual escape hatch all the time he was talking to you.
I like that phrase, intellectual escape hatch. Thanks for your call, Dimitri.
You're welcome, Liz.
454-0400. I scream. I just don't do it on the air. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. Lois, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm okay. I haven't been calling because I've been listening and waiting to hear people say certain things. But I haven't heard it, and but I'll speak on that a little later. But right now, I just want to make a couple of comments on your conversation from last hour
with Juan Williams,
the Bennett one, yes. And also the crime.
Yes, ma'am.
We have the political correctness is out the window as far as blackness go now. We are open. It's open season for the black man.
Okay. Open season on the black man?
On the black man.
Okay.
It's open season for the whole race of
okay.
black.
Okay.
And the black haters out there feel very, very comfortable in saying and doing whatever they want to now.
Okay.
Because they know they got the support in Washington.
Okay.
And in this state government here.
So there's an there's an atmosphere that has been created.
Exactly.
That enables people to just, you know, press their clan sheets in front of us.
What they've been wanting to say for a long time.
Okay.
And what I want us to do is stop using up our precious energy reacting to every idiotic, stupid thing that these people say. We have much more pressing business to attend to that we need our thoughts and our energy for. Yes, we do have high crime rate. What I'm concerned about our young men killing each other.
But here's the thing, Lois. Before we go, twist this into Bill Bennett was right.
No.
Okay, but wait a minute. Let me respond. Let me respond to something really quick because we only have a couple of minutes. And I have a full board.
Okay.
That I have to get to.
Don't misunderstand me. He's not right. I'm
okay.
not agreeing with him.
Okay. So what?
Have other
okay.
Okay.
Hold that thought too. The fact of the matter is that. For those of us that are fully vested and fully clear in our life as a person of African descent living in America, we have to acknowledge that on a day-to-day basis, we have to be multitasking. Because if there is an atmosphere for people to spew out lies about African people on a news or radio show and to be supported on a television show, if not for us, who is going to say that this is wrong? You cannot. Marcus Garvey said that you must respond to every bit of negative propaganda about your community. You have to respond to that. So it is not something that is a waste of time or something that we should be doing something else. We have to be multitasking. We have to know that, okay, we have to fight the death. Some of us are going to fight the death penalty. Some of us are going to fight the health care issue. Some of us are going to fight the economics piece. But we all must be brave enough to step forward in the face of every lie that is said about African people and confront that. And with regard to people of African descent and their response to crime, I will lay down the resume of black people against every other ethnic group in this country. There has been nobody that has held more candle vigils than we have. There's been nobody that has talked about and wanted to confront the issue of crime more than the community of African people. We are the people that are on the front line of the police review board. We're the people that are on the front line when crime happens within our community to denounce it. Black people are always denouncing it. So to suggest that when are we going to start doing something about it, we do something about it as a community every single day of the year, more than any other community. There wasn't one single candlelight vigil held on Columbine, on the quad of Columbine High School asking the question of what are we going to do about white crime and white on white crime for our babies. Not one. But black people are always the first to come out and say, what are we going to do about crime within our community? So I resist the statement, the energy to be put out there about what are we going to do? Because we're doing plenty.
What I am trying to say is that the direct attacks, yes, we do respond to that.
We
must. But a simple, just any idiotic statement that these people is making, and they do it to jerk us around, and they're sitting back laughing as we
I'm not
reacting like crazy about some prejudiced statement.
Who's acting like Who's acting like crazy?
On the news
Who's acting like? What is an example of a black person acting crazy?
On the news, and you hear our young people killing each other.
Okay, darling, you didn't hear a single word that I said. We got to go. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. You're making Bill Bennett's point. Again, I'm spreading another. You didn't hear a single word that I said. A single word that you want to condemn black people for addressing a lie about black people in order to put out another lie about black people. You need to listen. You need to listen. Oh, I'll be back. Stay with me.
Don't you see that's what's wrong with the world, today? Oh. Everybody wants somebody to be their own piece of play.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
Has Steve Franklin been on your mind? Join him online at WGNU.net.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge, and most importantly the discipline, to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Take a 6-mile hike at Pere Marquette State Park on Illinois Route 100 in Grafton, Illinois on Saturday, October 15th at 8:30 a.m. Wear good hiking shoes and bring a snack, camera, and binoculars. Meet at the Visitor's Center. We will return around noon. Admission is free. To find out more, call 618-786-3323. Something for hikers from Radio Free St. Louis.
Coming up on October 17th, it's a special 2-hour edition of Mondays at 9. We should call it Mondays at 8. Our special guest is Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President. Dr. Frank is a professor of psychiatry at George Washington Medical School. His publication takes a look at the actions of President Bush over the last several years. Dr. Frank says the inconsistencies and denials he exhibits are troubling. His tendency to avoid taking responsibility is a pattern that has gone on long before he became president, and this leads to concerns about the safety of all people whose lives he touches. This interview will be full of revelations that will seem outrageous, but when you put all the pieces together, the picture becomes clear. In addition, we'll have several copies of the book to give away to the listening audience during the interview. So don't miss this special edition of Mondays at 9, starting at 8, on Monday, October 17th, with Dr. Justin Frank and Bush on the Couch, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You don't know how you met me, you don't know why you can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright.
I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Car phone. Car phone. Yes.
Yes, Liz. Earlier, I heard you equate abortion with murder. Now, when did you become pro-life?
When Bill Bennett said abort babies. That means
so you
that
are pro-life?
No, it means that it when you abort a baby.
A baby.
That if you wanted to abort every black baby, that means that whether they're 3 months, whether they're 4 months, whether they're 5 months, whether they're 6 months, whether they're 9 months, if you kill them all, you can kill them all, and that would be wrong.
No, I'm just talking about babies in general, though. When you abort a baby, you've killed something, right?
From the context of what Bill Bennett was saying, that he wanted to make certain that, to make the point that before any black child got here, if you aborted them, whether they were 6 months,
that you're pro-life now.
No, I am not pro-life. I am pro-choice.
Pro-death?
I am pro-choice.
No, you got a dead baby. You've killed the baby.
It depends on the time that you do it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Really? You're right.
Well, you don't have to agree. This is America.
Oh,
that's
no,
a wonderful. That's
Why
right, and that's
that
a, and that and that's a wonderful thing. That if you don't like abortions, if you don't support abortions, don't have one. That's easy, Gary. Stay with that.
No,
it's
no, no.
Easy. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hello.
Yes.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
That's great. You know, I just hope that people can understand that when a crime is committed, a race or a group of people shouldn't be embarrassed because a member of that group or race commit that crime.
You're talking about one of the callers that called you. You heard embarrassment in her.
And I hear it all the time,
mm-hmm.
people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, criminal actions, do you think, I know you don't think it, but do these people think that George Bush is embarrassed by the crimes that these businessmen are committing that he knows and deals with on a regular basis?
You know what? I don't think you're being fair. I really don't think you're being. I don't think that George Bush is embarrassed by his own behavior. You know, I don't think he was embarrassed about his alcoholism. I don't think that he's embarrassed about his failure as a businessman. I don't think that he's embarrassed about his record as a president. So you don't even need to step outside of him.
You know,
there's no shame there. You know, but you know where, you know what, I would love to have a psychiatrist on about that, because oftentimes, maybe that's not right, but people, I think a lot of people that are bougie, people that are perceive themselves as a certain economic class, are quick to look down their noses at other people. And like Bill Cosby, spoke from a place of embarrassment, like you're making us look bad in front of white folks type of a position. And you get that sense from people that say things like that, that there is some kind of insane embarrassment.
Yeah. And the insane part about it is you being embarrassed by anybody's
mm-hmm.
actions.
Mm-hmm.
You only have control over your own actions.
That's right. And also, if you love your people, why would you allow somebody outside of your community to define your community in terms of the minority of them? Most of your community, the overwhelming majority of your community, are good, wonderful, loving, great people. So why would you let somebody let you think that everybody is like something that everybody is not? Love your community, and you know what? Here's the thing. I will lean into my community. I will lay the record and the resume of my people down next to anybody. I ain't ashamed of anything. I am not ashamed of anything. I love my community.
I totally agree. And one last thing, just what you just got through saying. Don't let nobody paint no picture for you of what your community is.
That's a fact.
You live in that community.
That's a fact. You
live
know.
Around these people.
That's
you
right.
know what's happening.
That's a fact. And if you don't, You need to shut up.
Okay, then.
Thanks for
taking
the call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Lawrence, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. And it truly is a pleasure to hear you speak and hear your viewpoint. And
thank
I am
you.
A new listener to WGNU.
Well, bless your heart and thank you.
And my comment is what Bill Bennett said was absolutely reprehensible, and he need to be lynched for the comments that he stated.
But
surprisingly, I would not be surprised that President Bush feel the same way.
Well, the comments put forth by George Bush were that it was inappropriate. I mean, are you not talking about Bill Bennett being killed for what he said? When you say lynched, are you saying killed?
Well, not the actual sense of
okay.
him being killed, but actually his reputation,
okay.
the words that he stated,
okay.
you know, need to be put to rest.
Mm-hmm.
But he said something that a lot of white Americans feel.
Well,
they're just not able to speak it.
I think that in order to demonstrate that you don't feel that way, that is not a statement that is about you, that is not a statement that you agree with, you say very clearly, that is wrong, that is untrue, that is racist, that is unacceptable. You don't come out with mealy-mouthed statements of, that was inappropriate, meaning that you should have said it at the dinner table where we always say it instead of in front of a microphone. Because that's what inappropriate means. We all know how to denounce stuff that's wrong, don't we?
That's correct.
Even George Bush has the vocabulary to denounce something that is wrong.
That's correct.
You know, he said, dead or alive, you try to get my daddy, kill them all. He knows how to denounce something when he believes that it is wrong. A statement that is inappropriate simply means you should have said it at the dinner table instead of in front of a microphone.
That is 100% correct. And that's why I truly feel that President Bush, Dick Cheney, and the White House staff, truly, they do feel that way. And as an example, look at the way he treated our people in New Orleans. Why would you go up in Air Force One and look down instead of going down and help the people, help the community?
Well, now he's going to try to take what what he needed to do initially, what you just described as what he needed to do initially. Now apparently he's going to be spending all of his time building houses for humanity in New Orleans instead of dealing with the war in Iraq, instead of dealing with the economy, instead of dealing with the issues that are confronting this country. He's going to be down in New Orleans hammering in nails for houses for humanity. You know, he still doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it. He failed to get it within the first 24 hours
mm-hmm.
of the devastation. And it showed the world his position on how he felt. But that's the same way his father felt when we had the riots in
that's
L.A.,
right.
the
you're
Rodney King incident.
You're absolutely
he didn't
right.
show up.
That's right.
His father didn't show up.
That's right. You're absolutely
in the area,
right.
in the neighborhood.
I forgot. You're absolutely right. Thank you so much, Lawrence. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Christine, good morning.
Good morning. Your guest you had the last hour, Juan Williams, he said something I thought was very important. He said that in connection with what Bill Bennett said, he said they were talking about Social Security, which had nothing to do with crime. And Bill Bennett came way out of right field to say what he said about aborting
black babies. Mm-hmm.
And before he said it, I heard on your show segments from the statements he made, and he said I truly believe this.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that was no hypothetical.
No.
That was his true psyche.
And it is fascinating how that the same argument is made all of the time of it would be reprehensible. Cleans that up, you know, that somehow saying that it would be a morally reprehensible thing to do cleans up what or negates what he said. You said that the crime rate would go down if every black baby was dead, if every black baby died before they got here. And that's racist and wrong.
And very racist, because his psyche went to a subject that wasn't even on the table.
He's been dying to say this. And I think it is fair and appropriate that we, as citizens of the United States, wonder and reassess what the education that people received under his tenure as head of education, Department of Education. If you believe that every black baby is a criminal, good God, what did we get during your tenure? What did we get? What could we have gotten if you look in my face and see criminal?
And I certainly agree with you when you say that you have to nip everything in the bud.
You gotta challenge
it. Because we attack not daily but hourly.
And
if you would just listen. And I'm so glad I listened to your show, because I'm not ashamed to admit that I had never heard of Bill Bennett. And listening to your show, I like every day is a learning experience. And as you already know, I appreciate you and your efforts daily. What time you spend and coming to the airways with 99.9% facts.
So you
have a good day.
Take care of yourself. Thank you, Christine. Ooh, I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're going to take a break. I'll be back. Step out on faith.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Richmond. State governors are extremely unhappy with the Bush administration's use of state National Guardsmen in Iraq. The chairman of the National Governors Association, Mark Warner of Virginia, is putting together a policy statement on the matter, which has been brewing for the last couple of years. The concern was irritated by the catastrophe on the Gulf Coast. In a shining example, the Louisiana National Guard has more amphibious vehicles than most other state guards units, but had most of its personnel and equipment in service in Iraq when it would have been extremely resourceful for relief efforts on its home turf. Both Republican and Democratic governors are expressing dissatisfaction with the Bush administration's war policy. And Dateline Baghdad. A new radio station has gone on the air in Iraq and is aimed exclusively at the women in Iraqi society. The station is called Al-Mahaba, which is Arabic for love, and allows callers to express opinions on personal and political issues that affect them as females. The director of the station says they get about 100 calls a day. He says the station does not belong to any political party, but allows women to say what's on their mind without fear of retaliation. Much recent discussion has been about the constitutional referendum that's set for this Saturday. The broadcast facility operates on the 96 FM frequency and was started with funds from a United Nations agency that supports women's issues. It began with being on the air for just 4 hours a day, but now broadcasts for 18 hours each day. It carries a mixture of talk, music, and news. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
This is Jim Curran, Curran Events. We're on every Monday nights now from 8 to 10 p.m. On Curran Events, we let both sides of an issue be heard. That way we can learn from each other. That's Monday nights, 8 to 10 p.m., Jim Curran, Curran Events, right here on WGNU.
As the new school year begins, AAA reminds motorists to remember the ABCs of auto safety in its Schools Open, Drive Carefully campaign. A great burden is on the motorists to take extra precautions when driving in areas with school-aged children. AAA offers these safety reminders for motorists. Watch for reduced speed limit signs in school zones that become effective when classes are in session. Remember the law about stopping before passing or overtaking a school bus stopped to pick up or discharge children. Watch out for youngsters riding bicycles who may appear suddenly from a blind spot. Help your child map out his or her safest way to school, and remember that traffic hazards near schools multiply when children are dropped off and picked up in family cars. Remember that school traffic controls are operating now that school has restarted, and anticipate the actions of youngsters and be ready for anything by reducing speed in areas where children are present. These reminders are brought to you by AAA.
Has Steve Franklin been on your mind? Join him online at WGNU.net.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. And stay tuned for today's solutions with David Lenihan from 4 to 6.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you.
Welcome back. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU 314-454-0400 is my fax. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. I am iPodded in at whiterosesociety.org, and you can also check out the daily archive at whiterosesociety.org. Get to me. Van, good morning.
Hi there. I think Bill Bennett, didn't he hold some other office besides the education secretary? Some kind of a morality-based office?
Yeah, he was the morals, the value czar.
That's something, yeah, mm-hmm. I remember that kind mm-hmm. of, but...
He wrote a book on values,
exactly,
too, a children's
book. Exactly, that's what I was just going to say. I think he's written a couple of books, mm-hmm. and what I was going to say was is that everything he has written, as far as I know, including, op-ed pieces and whatever else, is always on morality, always.
Mm-hmm.
That's his whole bag.
And yet,
he gambled away $7 million mm-hmm. a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and he says that's different. Everything's different. For some reason, it's okay for him to do that because he could afford it, but a poor person who did it, totally different story.
And Dan, I think he would go a little further. He would assess the morality of a poor person who had a gambling addiction and define them in a negative way.
Exactly.
And the same way that he is refusing to acknowledge his wrongdoing with regard to the racist statement that he made, it's the same way that he refused to acknowledge the fact that he has a problem with morals as a gambling addict.
To someone of a lower economic stature than you, that the same exact thing that you're doing is wrong because you're poor, that's the offensive part to me. I don't care if that person can pay their debt off or not, but, you know, it's just,
Dan, I think your observation is dead on. It really is. It's just stinky. Just to hear somebody talk about morality having to do with your economic class or your race.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because, and like I've said before, with regard to the issue of race, of racism as a result of the things that he's said, the fact of the matter is that he knows more white criminals than he knows black criminals.
Yeah.
And yet he still,
I like the way you put it earlier when, what'd you say, oh, God, I can't remember now. I can't remember. I'm sorry. I forgot. You said something that really got me, but I forgot what it was. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you that I think Bill Bennett is a fool, and I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with him next. He may end up being a Fox commentator or something because he's got the perfect opportunity right now to jump in and do something with his reputation that
well,
he's got.
Well, he's running from, he's canceling event after event, so he's running pretty hard.
Oh,
he's running pretty hard. And he's lost some endorsements, and he's lost some gigs, so it's hurting him. Hurting him.
All right.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks.
We're going to take a break. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And don't forget, my name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Let me get to this caller. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Mr. Bennett is right. Poor people shouldn't do that. The difference between poor people and rich people that commit crimes is the rich people don't go to prison and the poor people do.
So then you shouldn't if you're poor, because you're going to go to prison, and if you're wealthy, you're not.
And a rich man like Mr. Bennett, if he commits a crime, I mean, you see it over and over in the paper.
And I think that being the case, because if every poor person who was charged with a capital crime had the financial wherewithal of O.J. Simpson, we would have fewer people charged with crime because the state would know that they couldn't prove it.
It's a social economic thing.
That's right.
It's not about race, really. It's on his part it is, but I mean, it's just proven that rich people don't go to prison.
That's right.
And the poor people, you know, if a kid steals a hubcap down the ghetto, he can probably get 20 years.
Well, we can look at that in terms of the crack versus powder cocaine.
Exactly. That's a good example. And you've got these big high-paid executives, you know, up in New York and Wall Street, and that's snorting coke and swindling people out of money like this.
How is it that you could go to jail for 20 or 30 years for doing a crime that only affected you? I snorted coke, I snorted pot, or I smoked pot. I go to jail for 30 years.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Let me make the comparison. But yet you can be the CEO of a company that swindled tens of thousands of people out of their pension funds, that made people jump out of windows, that ruined people's lives forever, that caused the elimination of tens of thousands of jobs. You can be a CEO and commit that kind of a crime, and you still can't get the same amount of time, don't get the same amount of time as somebody who did something that
took
jobs.
And that's not one crime. That's multiple crimes against multiple people.
Yes, it is.
And it just drives me up the wall when I read this stuff in the Wall Street Journal. It's Bayou, I don't know, it's $54 million or $500 million missing. And these guys are sitting there smiling.
Thanks for your call.
Because they know that nothing's going to happen to them.
Thanks for your
call.
Thanks, son. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Well, good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you this beautiful day?
I'm all right.
No, me personally, I don't want an apology from Bennett. I don't want the president to denounce what he heard, because I think they all in the same clique thinking of what Bennett thought.
Oh, but here's the thing. It's not that I want them to say that. I demand that they do.
Well, I don't want apologies written on pieces of paper. That's where you're going to get it from, some homemade apology.
So far, no, we haven't, Mac. I mean, no, we haven't. I mean, apologies are hard to come by, so don't act like they give them out like candy, because they don't. They don't. You know, tell me one. I mean, the apology for not having a lynching bill, ask the Southern senators if they apologize for that. So, no, they ain't handing them out like candy. So, yes, I do. Yes, it's a starting point, and it ain't the only thing.
Oh, well. Anyway, I think he speaks for many Americans. So anyway, Ms. Brown, you have a beautiful day.
Take care of yourself, Mac. My name is Ms. Brown. It's been an amazingly bad weekend, folks. Lots of bad stuff happened out there. We'll be back to talk about some more of it when I'm back tomorrow. Same time, same place.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound, that's below me.
Hearing revolution from the air, tell me, brother, how can you listen?
that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. The U.S. is scrambling 8 helicopters to be used in the relief effort in Pakistan, hit by a monster earthquake over the weekend.
Reaching these areas is only possible through helicopters. So cargo helicopters are required. Bigger the better.
Pakistani President Musharraf, ABC's Gretchen Peters, is in one of the hardest hit areas.
Collapsed buildings all over the city of Muzaffarabad.